This is Rover's Morning Glory. Rover.
Backed up for some reason.
Doogie.
Don't touch it!
Dieter.
Yeah!
Charlie.
Compare your wife to a toilet.
And Jeffrey.
I don't know what to say.
Streaming on RoverRadio.com. Rover's Morning Glory starts now.
What's happening? It is Friday, August 24th, 2018. Good morning. It's Rover's Morning Glory. I'm Rover. Doogie is here.
Good morning, sir.
Dieter is here.
Yo,
you're with us as well. 866-YO-ROVER. 866-967-6837. That's the number you can reach us at. Give us a call there. You can text us. That comes into the studio. You text us at that same number. Tweet us. Just put at Rover Radio in your tweets. That also comes into the studio in real time. Jeffrey is here. It is Friday, so he's here. Is he in a good mood today?
He's talkative.
Yeah.
You're in a good mood
yeah,
today?
Yeah, we were. Dieter and I were just talking some Blues Brothers in the office before we came on.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
what's the update on Blues Brothers?
Nothing really. We were just talking about just dissecting the opening scene of the movie.
Dissecting it, huh?
Yeah, taking it apart and learning like at what moment in the scene what line is said.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
How do you dissect that? Do you play the opening scene?
No, I played it, and then we talked about at what point in the scene is one particular line said, and so that there's no confusion if we ever run that this whole scene again.
Because you and him just do movie lines back.
Oh, we don't talk in movie lines, but I'm just saying it's always funny because it's the Blues Brothers to me is like one of the best musical comedies I've seen come down the pike in the last 50 years.
How many musical comedies have come down the pike in the last 50 years?
Lots, but Blues Brothers is always going to be my favorite.
Name three others.
Well, there's Mamma Mia. There's Don't Cry for Me Argentina.
That's a comedy?
No, I'm just saying, I'm talking about musicals in general.
Well, you said this was the best musical comedy.
Well, that's because it's a musical and it's a comedy. Other musicals I may have seen are all dramas.
Doogie's orange again.
Have you
been fake spray tanning again?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Doogie. Why do you do that, if I may ask? I mean,
true.
Why? What's the point of this?
I have a wedding.
But you're going to be orange at this wedding.
I don't care what you think. I don't care. It makes me, once I wash it off, I'll get in the shower and I'll rinse it off and it'll be perfect.
How long are you supposed to wait before you shower, Douche? Like they did it yesterday?
I could have showered this morning. Yeah, I could have easily washed it up earlier.
You're supposed to. You're really supposed to. So say you do it at like 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Then the next morning you should wash it off.
But okay, I asked the lady.
Not her.
No, I did ask, and I said, "Is it okay if I don't shower it off?" I've asked a couple of times.
You're going to shower before the wedding. That's very key.
Yo.
Oh.
1,000%.
Okay.
No, I just said.
All right. Well,
I have
that's not an unusual
for like
question.
4 days.
Right.
No, I could have showered this morning, but I will once I rinse off the original spray. It's perfect. Golden brown. Perfect. So. You should try it.
You should. My girlfriend's got that tent. You come over to my house in my basement. I'll get that spray gun out. I'll spray you down.
I would like to.
And then I'll
wait
12 hours.
Yeah, do it the right way. As long as you do it the right way, it actually looks good.
How am I not doing it the right way?
Because I don't think you should be in public. Because you're still very orange. You have all the bronzer on. You need to wash off that bronzer before you go out in public.
Oh, I don't care.
Yeah,
no one sees me.
It's silly, doesn't it? I mean, it's
overkill. Once you wash it off and you get that off,
then it's perfect.
Yeah, it will look good.
See? Thank you, John.
But what I'm saying is,
what?
Why even go through the hassle of that in the first place? Does it make that big of a difference in your appearance?
Yes, I have a really cute black dress, and I look like the guy from Powder. I am white. I didn't get into the sun once.
There's nothing wrong with it,
but it just makes me feel self-conscious to be that stark white. That's all, especially against black. So for me, it makes me feel good. I don't want to go to a tanning bed. I don't go in the sun.
Yeah, go get yourself a tan. You'll feel like $1 million.
I agree. No, seriously. Once you try it.
Oh, you really will. You'll be like, what's different? Did I lose weight? Did something else happen? No, it's just a little bit of a tan.
Mm-hmm.
Just gives you that.
Nads, you try
garbage. Look at him. Look how terrible I look.
Yeah. I'm pale, but I don't care.
I just did look at him, but it wasn't about his tan. His eyes are puffy or something.
But if he just got a fake tan last night, you wouldn't be able to tell that he's hungover.
Yeah, he looks very tired. What did you do last night?
Football? I was home by 8:15, Rover.
Okay, what'd you do prior to 8:15?
12:15 yesterday.
You could drink from 12 till 8.
Happy hour.
Yeah.
All day long.
But I was home by 8:15.
You did happy hour? What time did you go to happy hour?
6:30.
Uh-huh. And so you were there for an hour, almost 2 hours.
Almost 2 hours, yeah. Uh-huh. Got back right before the football game.
What'd you drink?
I had a couple beers.
One and a half beers, Dieter.
Yeah, 2 beers. Always.
F. Doogie writes, Doogie could still be an actress. Yesterday, Doogie told us she thought her calling was in Los Angeles and that she could have been an actress. Of course, Doogie and I lived in Los Angeles. I never saw her make an effort to be an actress. But F. Doogie says, I hear there's an upcoming reboot of Life Goes On. They're recasting Corky as a woman. So...
Perfect
big
role.
Big ass forehead of hers.
Yeah.
But if they're rebooting something, I don't think Doogie. Well, maybe with this spray tan, maybe she could, because they normally, not only do they reboot as a female, but usually you have to change race as well. So Corky will be a black female in the reboot of Life Goes On.
Right.
You know, I never even saw an episode of that show.
Is this not the song?
No. Life Goes On?
Well, he says it.
No, it's
life
not.
Goes on.
It's not.
It's a
Isn't
good
that
song.
The Beatles song? The do-do-do?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever seen an episode of that show?
Corky?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never saw an episode.
Yeah, I'm like, I gotta watch this thing. Probably seen a couple. He was funny.
I don't know if... Is he supposed to be funny?
Oh, I thought it was a comedy. Don't tell me it was a drama. No, it was supposed to be like lighthearted.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know. I've never seen an episode of that. Anonymous writes, Yo, Rover, I found a stash of money my wife has been hiding from me. We've been married for 5 years. We're great and happy. We make pretty good money, but we do have a lot of bills. And sometimes we struggle just a bit. So it surprised me while I was looking for an old shirt that I found a stash of hundreds in one of her coat pockets. Should I be straightforward and ask why she's doing this? Is she going to leave me? Is she just saving up, even though we do have a savings account? I'm afraid she will get mad because I went through her stuff. How should I bring this up? Help, please.
I can tell you why. That.
Okay, you explain it, Doogie.
I was flabbergasted when I was out one night with some people, and the girls were talking about their stash money. Like, mm-hmm. What's stash money? And it's their just-in-case savings. They have... money, they're married, everything's fine. But what they do is they take a little bit at a time and they put it away so that if something happens, they've got that stash and their husband doesn't even know about it. And it goes both ways. I know men that have side accounts that the wife, like separate stash.
So women are stealing money from you during the relationship, even though you have to pay them after. If something happens and you get divorced, you still have to pay them. That's not enough for these greedy women.
Just in case.
They need to steal money on the side during the marriage, too?
They could be working.
Just in case something happens. And they could be working, yeah.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not
just,
like they're
laying
around.
You just assume that they're stealing from you. They could be have their, they could have their own money.
But if you have an agreement
But it's wait a second. I thought that would be a marital asset, wouldn't it, mm-hmm. Snitz? If you're both married.
But the, I mean, the way you said it, you said you're kind of like, you know, that they're not working and they're stealing from you because you're the only one working. That's the way you said it.
Well, even if they're working, it would still be
a side stash. Nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that, Snitz, as far as you're concerned.
Oh yeah, side stash is that's just asking for trouble. You're just assuming the negative. I don't. That's a bad.
No.
But it's not in a bank account or anything. It's definitely hidden.
Cash.
Yeah, it's cash for a reason.
It's if something happens, it's escape.
Yeah, but you're assuming something's going to happen,
sure.
So you're already on a negative slant. So you're.
No, it's protecting you.
Self-prophesizing.
But it's
going to happen.
Nope, it's protecting you. And I was blown away by this.
Should he confront her about it?
He should just take the money. That's what he should do.
She wouldn't say anything.
Right. And then
divorce her, and then she goes to get the stash. The stash is gone, and then you go, in your face.
Take the money and let her just worry about it. Like, what happened to that money?
She can't go and ask.
No, exactly. She would. She'd come up with something. She's like, I was saving that to buy you something really nice.
Buy you a present?
I
don't know. I don't know what happened. Maybe we had a worker in the house, and they stole it or something.
My father, even, when I worked at a bank back home, my father even had a side savings account. He would roll through and he's, what's our secret? Don't tell mom. You know, she never even knew that he had it. I don't even know if she knows to this day that he had a side stash of money.
Dan writes, my wife and I traveled to Binghamton, New York for a few days earlier this week. And on the way there, we noticed a sign for a river, which reminded us of Jeffrey trying to pronounce that river's name and having trouble doing so. Could you please replay that or have Jeffrey try to pronounce the name of the river again? Jeffrey, what river is in the Binghamton, New York? They've been an affiliate for a few years now. What river is in the Binghamton area?
The Susquehanna River? Susquehanna River?
Say that again?
Susquehanna River? The Susquehanna River.
Man.
There is like a whole... Do you have like the 10-second thing, Charlie? There is one where it's
all small. I know is it's a small town along the Susquehanna River, New York State.
God, oh my God. It's so breathy.
Yeah, that's a hard one though.
I know. He like takes a couple of breaths in between the syllables.
That's how I got. Remember how I tried to teach you how to say synopsis?
Yeah.
There you go.
I never learned.
That was a tough one. The thing I got this time is the Susquehanna River.
Susquehanna. Susquehanna.
Susquehanna.
Let's see here. By the way, speaking of something, Jeffrey just said that's a hard one. It made me think of David Pecker, this head of the National Enquirer. What an unfortunate name that is. And it's all over the news right now because
they're having fun with it, aren't they?
He is apparently cooperating. He's been granted immunity for all this Donald Trump stuff, and he's a longtime associate / friend of Donald Trump. It seems like Donald Trump is friends
with everybody.
They're ready to turn on him, you know. But
about loyalty.
The guy's name is David Pecker.
Yeah, yesterday in the news, I didn't know who that was. I just saw Pecker immunity, and I thought like it was some sort of clause, like if you're president, you can't control.
You're like,
for
oh, they
sex.
Have a new drug that combats STDs.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, remember the Michael Cohen tape? Our friend David, he's like, where Michael and Trump are talking about the hush money, and he's like,
yeah, that's David
my
Pecker.
Our friend David, that's the guy that's the National Enquirer.
Oh, you mean the payment that Trump didn't know about until later?
Well, did you hear there's a safe that contains
the National Enquirer
safe
had? Yeah,
that David.
With all the Donald Trump secret documents in there, payoffs, love children.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
That's been the allegation.
That's the latest that came out from the Associated Press.
Yeah.
Wait, what's all in it?
Oh, all the dirty secrets, all the stories that should have been publicized for years.
And they have their hands in the safe?
They all go into the safe. That's why they granted this guy.
They don't know what happened to the stuff in the safe.
Oh.
They went in right before the election or before the inauguration. And they moved all of this stuff because they were afraid that it might come back to bite them.
But we don't know where
maybe,
the stuff
maybe
is.
They do have the stuff. I don't know, prosecutor.
But
knows?
Even this Pecker guy would know all of it.
True.
I mean, you could just ask him.
But they paid a doorman who said that he knew about Donald Trump's love child. Apparently, Donald Trump knocked up some broad, and they paid him off, killed that story. I think there's a lot of stuff in there. But, you know, I didn't know about that until much later.
You are fake news.
Teresa writes, Yo, Rover, my name is Teresa, and my friend Allison emailed the show wishing me a happy birthday. It was yesterday. Remember that?
Yeah. The actress, right?
She's the one that's right. In fact, she says, I did just move to L.A. to pursue my acting career, and Rover said he could tell if it will work out for me or not. What do you think?
She said
this is her at Roverfest. All right.
Which
so
one?
Here are four girls. They're all at Roverfest. She is the one. Let me see. Let's go from left to right. It's her sister on the left. That's her in the black shorts. That's Mandy in the second from the right, and then Allison. So the girl in the black shorts, Dieter, she just moved to Los Angeles, and she wants to be an actress. Give me your thoughts.
I think she's hot.
There's a second picture.
Well, let's not see that one yet. Okay. Let's just analyze this one. What do you guys think?
Tight body.
Could she be an actress?
I think she has a good face.
Yeah, she looks good, right?
Yeah.
You also have to be able to act.
Well, you know, it depends. What kind of acting does she want to get into?
Well, I don't know. That's a good
adult
very
films
important question.
Or
yeah,
actual
she could
films.
Definitely do that.
Because there's millions of hot chicks in L.A.
Yeah, there are. There really are. All right, there's another photo. Let me see the other photo, Snitz.
Oh, ooh, yeah. Porn is perfect for her.
Some sort of, looks like a cardigan. She's wearing nothing but a button-down sweater.
And then the knee-high socks. Or
thigh-high.
Yeah, thigh-high. Oh, man. Nothing better.
It's not a bad look, huh?
As Doogie's coughing up a hairball in the back.
Well, I know sexy.
All right, you could make it work. You're good looking. But now it's all a matter of does she actually have talent? Can she act? You know, some girls they go out there and they think they're going to be an actress. I could tell right off the bat, like, nah, honey, trust me, you don't. You know,
who are you to judge people in their passion and if they're going to make it or not?
I'm just a normal guy.
You're not in Hollywood. You don't know.
I don't need to be.
Yeah,
normal
you do.
Guys can.
That's who
look
she has
at
to appeal to.
Exactly. You have to appeal to normal men and fly over states,
I think,
like me.
Mm-hmm. I think directors, casting agents know way more than you do.
Rover's got talent. I've cast him in a bunch of commercials, and the talent just shines through these little snippets.
Oh, yes.
What we filmed yesterday.
Snitz.
Is that what you're talking about, the commercial you shot yesterday?
Yeah. No,
yes.
It's very good.
Yes.
What'd you do? Do you have any behind the scenes?
Gas Monkey Energy.
Oh, look at you.
So get ready to be inundated with those on RMG TV.
Good.
Snitz will get those done, you know, sometime in the next 6 months. Those will start running.
Well, with that many mistakes you made, it's hard to piece that together.
Put them in. It's all outtakes.
Yeah.
No, I you can just tell, can't you, Dieter? Like, sometimes you can see a chick, like, when she's just starting out in acting or whatever. Or you see a girl and you go, oh, she's going to make it.
Yeah, you can just tell the confidence. And it's also, too, the right place at the right time. She's got to meet the right people.
You think?
Yeah.
That has something to
do with
it?
I think that's going
to
be huge.
Luck.
Yeah. Yeah, luck's going to be big.
I don't know how much really has to do with luck.
Oh, come on.
No,
Robert.
I really don't. I think
luck?
That...
Totally.
I think so if you're driven, that if you're driven to do it and you're talented, why is it luck?
No, I think luck has a lot to do with it. Right place, right time. I do agree with you. You have to be dedicated.
I think, yeah, you need both things.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You have to be driven. And people who are very driven don't leave things up to luck.
It's not, no, but.
No one said you're leaving to luck.
Yeah, some driven people who are over-talented never make it.
Right.
You could be working.
They never meet the right people. They never get in the right spot.
Then they're not. Then they're just dumb. I mean, if you're that talented and you're that driven, there's no reason to fail.
I do believe
it's
failure
not like, oh, luck. I happen to be. I don't believe that.
I do, and I try to teach this to my daughter that failure isn't an option. You keep going and you keep trying. As long
it's
as
like an Eminem song.
No, it's true. I think it's a great message to teach kids. Like
failure's not never an option.
No, you just don't give up. I think if you're passionate, like what you're saying, if you're passionate about something, you keep going for it.
Brian writes, the hookup hottie was very entertaining. I had to laugh watching Rover as he skillfully and intently interviewed that sweet lady and then calling her back for more information. I could almost read Rover's eyes, wishing that he got married way too soon.
Already, God. Jeez.
Glad you didn't allow that narcissistic doctor get a second chance at that trophy. Seeing your entire cast laughing and having a good time is why I tune in. Meeting you guys last winter in West Palm Beach was worth it. I don't go out at all. I talked to Dieter about cycles. If you remember this guy.
Oh, that guy?
Brian from Jupiter, Florida.
Okay.
That guy.
You remember the cycle guy?
Yeah.
What kind of cycles? Is he talking about period cycles?
Bicycles? Tricycles?
I think a Harley's he was talking about.
Oh, okay.
He said he had one. I go, come on up. Let's do a run.
You going with that?
Yeah.
And Raul is a listener from Long Beach, California.
I remember him, yeah.
Well, that's Long Beach. It's different.
I thought we met him when we went to California.
Raul?
Yeah.
He says that Liz is the hottest, sexiest girl we've ever had on the hookup. I can't stop looking at her pictures. Her honesty about her sex life and her family was intriguing. Please find a way to get her on the show again. Would be so nice to see a cute girl on the show every now and then instead of the seven dudes I see every morning. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's the seventh.
Seven.
Doogie?
Right there.
Yeah.
Doogie.
Rude.
Doogie's the seventh one. All right, Doogie, what do you have coming up in the shizzy? The news.
There's a lot of good stuff coming up. We are going to tell you what coconut oil could do to you. And it's not good. That's been like the latest fad, coconut oil. You might want to listen to this story because that's not good at all.
All right. Coconut oil. We'll be right back with the shizzy after this. Hang out.
Rover's Morning Glory.
Morning Glory has dominated morning radio.
The dominant power.
Dominated.
The dominate.
Dominate
all comers.
Here's to another 15.
We have the shizzy coming up in just a moment. What do you have on the way, Doogie?
I know we all love pizza. We talk about toppings on pizza. What is the new trend to put on your pizza? I'll tell you and see what you think coming up next.
All right, we'll get to that in just a moment. Let me go to Jim in Hawaii. You're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Jim.
Yo, Rover, what's up, man?
Yo, what's happening, Jim?
Peter.
Yo!
What's up?
How is it out there?
Yeah, how's the weather?
Yeah, so it's like, man, it's like, you know, 1:06 a.m. right now. Just kind of chilling, drinking a couple of brews.
Smoking some dope.
A doobie.
Yeah.
a little jazz cigarette.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's pretty calm right now, though, but...
Because isn't a hurricane about ready to hit you?
Take cover.
Yeah, it's getting pretty close. Just got some shopping done today, got some water, and, you know, prepared a little bit.
Now, did you fill up the bathtub with water? They always say to do that. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're supposed to do with that exactly.
Are
like,
you gonna drink that?
I think that's what they're getting at, Dieter.
And dirty ass bath water.
No, I'm like, ugh.
Why is it dirty?
It's from a bathtub.
Bath in there. They bathe. That's what a bathtub's for, douche.
Right. I know, Dieter. But after we take a bath, you rinse everything out. You spray it down with bleach. Rinse it out again.
No, most people don't do that.
And then you're drinking like part bleach.
If you know you need to fill, a hurricane is coming your way. You got to store the water. You clean it out.
Still, it's just gross. I guess I drink that water if it's between that and dehydrating and dying.
Yeah.
I drink the bath water, I suppose, but no one wants to.
Jeez.
I would rather dehydrate than drink Doogie's 30 feet water.
Well, I hope you go right out in
Can
the
you imagine
center Doogie of the
with that spray tan on if she had a bath? Like what that water would look like afterwards?
All murky and brown.
Yeah. Just looked like a mud pit.
Yuck.
Hey, it's working for me. Don't worry.
All right. Well, listen, Jim.
Be careful.
You stocked up on beer?
Oh, dude, we're good, man.
Okay.
That's the most important thing.
All right. So stock up on beer. That will you keep a nice buzz throughout the whole thing. That will keep you nice and mellow. I know we talked to people who were in Florida when that hurricane was rolling through last year. And
this is a little different. Like, it's not going to have a direct hit. What they're worried about is the rainfall amounts and the flooding and the mudslides. So they're not going to get hit by this Hurricane Lane is the name of the hurricane.
Yeah.
But it's the mudslides and the other possibilities of the flooding that's really kind of damaging.
Yeah, I saw this on the news. I go, man, it looks so beautiful out there. Why don't I move to Hawaii? It's very expensive.
Hey, man, Sailing Glory 1, get it in the water.
Oh, no.
Come on out here and come visit us.
I did see a boat, or I did see a bus that can actually turn into a boat.
Oh, boy.
What do you think about it? A duck boat, right?
No, it's not a duck boat. It's a bus. It looks like our bus, and it just goes right into the water. And I don't know if they have actually put these into the market yet, but I saw it floating around in a river somewhere. All right. What are you doing over there, Jim?
Yeah, so I did heating and air conditioning locally in Cleveland there for about 2 years. Came out here, got an air conditioning job with one of my buddies from high school who also does heating and air conditioning. And we do, you know, installs, service, you name it, man. We're kind of just getting it done. We're
I'm assuming you're doing much more air conditioning than heating.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's pretty much only air conditioning out here.
All right. Well, Jim, good luck to you. Stay out of trouble. Keep the beer stocked. Keep the water in the bathtub or whatever. And good luck to you. Thank you. Eric in Fort Pierce, Florida. You're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Rover.
Hey,
morning,
what's happening?
Yo.
Oh, not much. I was just calling to fill you in on the whole bathtub deal. The reason you do that in preparation for a hurricane is due to the fact that some people still aren't on city water, and you need to be able to flush your toilet.
Ah, so you're not drinking the bathtub water. You're just flushing the toilet?
I wouldn't recommend it. It's for, you know, if you need to wash up.
You've never explained that on the news. Like, maybe they are in Florida because you're getting hit by the hurricane, but the rest of us, who would have guessed? Did anyone ever guess this?
I thought you're going in there with a glass, dunking it in your bathtub, and just...
I mean, I swear to God, they've never explained that. I mean, we don't get hit by hurricanes here. Huh.
Correct.
Interesting.
Yeah. And just so you know, Rover, guess who I talked to yesterday? With Kyle from Maine, talking about coming back to Florida.
The guy who... he broke up with his girlfriend. We met him down there in West Palm Beach. He broke up with his girlfriend. He'd been with her for years. And then he they got in an argument, and he was like, I'm driving to Maine. I'm driving back to Maine. I'm like, dude, you're going to be back. You're going to be tail between your legs. You're going to be back to this girl. And he's like, no. So what's the update there, Eric?
Well, as you know, I'm his stepfather. So he's been there about a month, month and a half, and got himself into a little bit of trouble, as a typical kid at that age going off on their own does.
What did he do? What kind of trouble?
Little drinking and driving.
Oh,
boy. DUI.
Yeah.
Well, how's that going to help coming back to Florida? I mean, it's not like they're just going to go, oh, he moved away.
Well, I think he wants to take care of it and realize what he had before he left.
Is that a real change of heart, Dieter, or is that a, I got a DUI, oh, I miss you, baby, I want to come back. Is that, I don't know. What do you think, Dieter?
I don't know. There's not really many options here for this guy.
Huh. Well, Eric, let us know how it turns out.
I'll keep you posted.
Keep your daughter out of trouble with this guy.
Oh, that I do.
All right. Eric, thank you. I appreciate it. Who knew that was for flushing the toilets? I guess everyone in Florida knows that.
So you just put it in the tank? Where do you put it?
Yeah, in the back part of the bowl?
In
the back part. You gotta scoop it out of the bathtub, put it into the tank.
Okay.
What if you're about to die and the only thing you can drink is toilet water?
Of course.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
I would drink my own pee to live.
And no, it's dirty toilet water. Like, you took a dump
there's a huge log sitting in it.
Yeah, you still drink it?
No. Yes. I chew on the log. For
like
nutrients.
A toothpick. Yeah. Not that sucker. Gross.
All right, wait. Are we ready for the shizzy?
Are you ready?
I am. Here we go.
Hear the shizzy on Rover's Morning Glory.
So we have some additional information regarding the Iowa college student who was allegedly abducted by that stranger. Remember, she was running and she was missing. They found her body in the...
Molly Tibbetts.
Yes, that is her name. So we have info on how she died. We have preliminary autopsy results from the state medical examiner's office, and they determined that the 20-year-old Molly Tibbetts was the victim of a homicide, multiple sharp force injuries.
Stabbed. Okay.
Correct.
Jeez.
So, multiple. Yeah.
Sounds like she was running away from this guy, and he was chasing her in the car. Then he got out of the car and was chasing her. And
yes, absolutely.
She's like, I'm going to call 911 on you, and I don't think she did.
Well, no, I mean, they would have had that. You know, they would have. The other little interesting tidbit in this case that came out was,
I don't even know if she had her phone with her. She have her phone with her?
I think so. If she's saying I'm going to call 911, I thought.
She might have just been saying that to the guy. So I thought you'd be able to track the phone. I don't think she had the phone with her.
The other information that came out was a former schoolmate.
That's why you need that Apple Watch. Because that the new one, it has a SIM card built right in. You don't need your phone with you.
So you can call right there?
That's right. Could call 911 right there from your wrist, like your Dick Tracy.
Can I call on mine? Mine's not new.
No, you cannot call on yours.
Just fake it. If somebody's about to rape you, just go, I'm calling 911 on my watch right now.
And do both voices.
Ding.
Yeah.
Hello, 911. Yeah, I'm about to get raped. Ma'am, I'll be right there.
You're an idiot. The other information that came out yesterday was a former...
Throw someone off, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they go, oh, God.
You play both sides.
A former schoolmate of Molly's bore the child of the man accused of killing her. So, you know I'm telling
what?
You.
What?
It's very simple.
No!
The guy that's accused of killing her.
Yes.
The girl in this picture gave birth to this Riviera's child. She went to high school with Molly. Iris Manares is her name. She was a cheerleader at the high school while Tibbetts was on the track team there. So there's a connection the guy that killed her and a classmate. They were in the same class. So that was
The murderer knocked up one of her classmates.
Correct.
Interesting.
And the classmate was in court with the baby. as the murderer was, you know, being sentenced and stuff like that. So that was just a different little twist to the story.
Charles wants to know, how come you won't call the guy who killed Molly Tibbetts an illegal immigrant?
The illegal immigrant.
Done it. Talked about it already.
He is an illegal immigrant that killed a woman.
Illegal alien.
Totally agree with you.
Or immigrant.
Yes.
Or whatever you want to call him. No, I prefer undocumented migrant. What a dumb thing. I love how, like, people saying someone's an illegal immigrant is, like, that's a bad thing. Go on.
Sure. You'll like this next story. I'm doing it just for you. The State Department issued a travel advisory warning American citizens headed to Mexico to use caution. This advisory comes because 8 bodies were discovered in Cancun.
Oh.
Are you kidding me?
Oh.
Thanks for the travel advisory. They're issuing that now. 8 dead bodies.
I don't know. Honest to God, people who go to Mexico, you're crazy. There's something wrong with you. It's,
I agree.
You're insane.
Yes.
I mean, they just gave me a free trip to Mexico. I said, no, forget it. I'm not going down there.
I agree.
You kidding me?
A security guard at a Tennessee hospital had sex in a storage room with a dead woman's bodies. Cameron Wright, who's only 23 years old, was arrested. He was charged with abuse of a corpse after at least 2 people saw him banging the dead body a storage area.
How do you... Okay. It's weird enough that you do it. How do you do it in a way where you're going to get caught? Like, if you're going to bang a dead body, don't you take extra precaution to make sure your coworkers don't see that?
What, lock the door?
This was...
Something. Hey, not only lock the door, you put a filing cabinet up against it. I mean, right?
Or drag the body into a closet.
It was a body storage room area inside of a hospital.
Okay.
So the 2 people saw him. Obviously, he's busted. And he did come out and admit to the crime. So he's in jail right now.
Nick says that that Donald Trump is the reason Molly Tibbetts is dead.
Why?
Here's the logic. Do you want to hear this?
Yeah.
The guy was trying to, you know, pick Molly Tibbetts up. She says, leave me alone or I'll call the cops. He's an illegal alien. He gets scared. He's going to be deported. ICE is going to take him away. So he kills her. If he weren't scared of deportation, he wouldn't have flipped out like that.
Oh, so he's a good guy. And Trump's the bad guy here.
Just
lock him up.
Yeah, makes sense.
Just go on, Doogie.
Coconut oil has been advertised as the new and trendy health food. And now nutrition experts say there's little evidence to back that claim. It goes even a step further. There's a Harvard professor calling coconut oil, quote, pure poison.
Why is that?
Oh, my gosh. She did this whole video thing saying it's absolutely horrible. And she said that I'm urging you. It's one of the worst foods that you can eat. They say that it is not a health. A little bit goes a long way with that. But they say it is 80% of the fat is oil, like saturated fat. And it's so bad for you. Mm. So bad for your arteries. And people tend to don't do more than just a skosh. They do way more. And it is absolutely the worst thing that you could do for your body.
Okay.
So, again, a lot of people fell for that. Coconut oil does wonders for you. It's so healthy for you. Be very careful. Speaking of food, who's going to want to eat a pizza today after we talk about this? So, is pickles proper to put on a pizza?
No.
I've never even heard of such a thing. Yeah. Pickles on a pizza.
You're just thinking of random things to throw on a pizza that hasn't been done.
Rhino's Pizzeria.
I do like.
And deli.
I've had a pineapple on pizza, which people don't like.
I'm not a
people
fan.
Are Hawaiian style.
I kind of think it's pretty good.
It's like, not bad.
Like the
it's
ham and
bad.
Pineapple.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah, it's good. It's a nice change sometimes.
Yeah. A
sometimes.
Change up?
Yeah. Not, yeah, you can't eat that every time. No. But just to mix things up. It's not bad, but pickles.
Rhino's Pizzeria and Deli in Webster, New York just created the Dill Pickle Pizza. You just saw a picture of that on RMG TV. They put garlic sauce on the dough, mozzarella cheese, and a bunch of sliced dill pickles. And they recommend dipping
the garlic
the slices.
Sauce might be, or might make it. Dipping it in what?
They recommend you dip it in ranch, they
of course.
Say.
Well,
every it's pizza
absolutely
ranch.
Amazing. So do you like pickles for your pizza?
I mean, it's just so random.
I would try that. That looks pretty good.
Captain Crunch cereal. I'm going to put that on a pizza now. What do you guys think?
I'd try it.
Good?
Actually, that's not a bad idea.
All right.
What else you got?
Think about like Frosted Flakes on a pizza. Do you think that's
over the line?
I don't know.
Cookie Crisp.
Okay, now we're talking.
On a cereal.
I mean,
on a pizza.
Cookie Crisp on a cereal. You should do that.
Oh, really?
Thanks. That's a Shizzy on Rover's Morning Glory.
All right, let me take a break. Comedian Fortune Feimster will be in studio with us in just a few minutes. We'll be right back on Rover's Morning Glory. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
This up. 3 DUIs and one felony drug conviction later, he's finally off probation.
Charges dismissed.
Watch out, world. No, seriously, watch out for this guy.
I go, like, blind. This adrenaline's pumping. I'm just...
Now back to Rover's Morning Glory.
I think Snitz ran out and told Doogie, it's Fortune Feimster, not Feimster, you idiot, Rover. Snitz is a big fan out there, our video director.
Yeah, she's on the Mindy Project. I love that show.
Yeah.
It's on Hulu.
Of course. Snitz watches everything. Seriously, you could put anything on Hulu and Snitz is going to watch it. I've never seen someone with so much free time. Hulu, MoviePass, Netflix, HBO Go,
right.
BitTorrent, like... I don't know how many, man. There's only 24 hours in a day.
I don't know.
How does this guy have the time?
Doesn't sleep.
Maybe I'm mismanaging my time. Maybe that's it. All right, let's bring Fortune in. Fortune Feimster. She is going to be at Hilarity's 4th Street Theater tonight and Saturday night. I'll give you the number for tickets. I'll tell you how to get them here in just a moment.
Douche.
She is supposed
to be. She's just staring at me through the window.
Staring.
Oh,
just...
Jeffrey's talking.
Oh, okay, you're
no, you're the one talking. We can hear you. Quit blaming Jeffrey.
It's so awkward. She's looking at us in the window.
Just staring in there. I go, let's bring her in. And then she's just staring at us. And there's this awkward, we time everything out so well on this show. It's like a well-oiled machine. I want things to move smoothly. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great.
I mispronounced your last name. I apologize.
It's all good.
But I'm assuming that probably has happened.
All the time.
A lot. Like when you were in school, your teachers and everything.
They were like, sir. I was like, it's ma'am. My last name looks like it would be pronounced Feimster.
Right.
But it's Feimster. I feel like someone messed up the spelling somewhere along the way.
You weren't. Someone told me that people confused you for Jonah Hill. That can't be a true story. Because when you say, they say, sir, that cannot be a true story.
They don't really. It was more like Jonah Hill super bad days.
Uh-huh.
He's
too skinny now, isn't he?
Like, yeah, he got skinny. But back in the day when he had the big fro, there were some resemblances there.
Isn't it weird how sometimes you can see people and, like, Jonah Hill, he just looks better as a fatter guy.
Yes.
I mean, it's probably not, he's probably healthier now.
No, that's true.
Whatever.
Some people look better fat.
Yeah, because their faces are more filled out or something.
Yeah.
But then when they lose weight, it kind of sinks in.
Yeah.
And it makes them look older.
So you have been doing comedy for how long now?
15 years.
15 years.
Yeah.
I know that you... You started out, I think, as an entertainment reporter. Is that correct?
I did. I moved to L.A. In 2003 to work first as a personal assistant to an actress.
Really? Was it all that it was cracked up to be, or was it the most miserable job in the world?
I hated it. She was nice. She was from Raleigh, North Carolina, and she spoke at my graduation.
Uh-huh.
And I was the commencement. I was the graduation speaker, and we hit it off, and she gave me a job, so I was really grateful she gave me the job, but I was not meant to be an assistant.
What would you do as an assistant? Like, give me the rundown of what a day would consist of.
Basically just, like, going to the grocery store and shopping and, like, doing laundry.
Doing
you're
all the
like
stuff
kind of like a glorified maid.
A normal person wouldn't want to do. Like, if I had a bunch of money, I would just have someone doing all of that.
Yeah, be like, you respond to emails, you go to the dry cleaners, you, like take out the trash and clean up.
But that's
the cat
a lot
litter.
Of trust that you have to put in someone because you could really, if you're dropping the ball, it could take someone a while to figure that out.
For sure. And I was like 23. I'd just moved to LA. I had no idea what I was doing. And back then, we didn't have Google Maps on our phone, so they would give you this giant book. Like to get around LA. So if you wanted to learn how to get anywhere, you had to open this giant book and like there was like grids.
Yeah.
And you had to be like, you know, C-37, look up.
I remember those days. Yeah.
And so it was a weird time to.
Who was his actress? Would I know who this is?
I don't know. Emily Proctor. She was on CSI Miami, the blonde one.
Pull up a picture of her, Snitz, and let me see. And I'm terrible with names, but I'll see if. And she spoke at your college.
Yeah, she and she was cool. I'm not organized to be in charge of someone's life. I mean, when you're 23, you're barely holding it together yourself.
You can't even control your own life.
And my main job was to take care of her cat, and I lost her cat like four times. This cat would like walk into a closet and just disappear. I swear to God, there was like a portal. To like Narnia or
so
something.
So would you then panic because you have to this cat before Emily comes home?
Yeah, I would call my mom my mom in North Carolina, and I'd be like, I lost a cat. What do I do? Like, what's my mom in North Carolina gonna do? And then sure enough, like an hour later, that cat would come right out. Just be like, hey guys.
Snitz, do you have a picture of
right there.
Jeez, have you seen this girl before, Dieter?
I feel like I have.
You would only really know her if you watch CSI Miami.
I watched a few episodes of that. I watched the original CSI for like a couple. I don't watch a lot of TV, but the original CSI, I watched like a season or two of that. And I think I've seen some episodes of CSI Miami.
What's that guy that was it?
David Caruso.
With this taking off the
takes
sunglasses.
Off his sunglasses and says, you know, some witty line of.
I was like, oh, this show will last like a year. And then it was it was like 10 seasons, 11 seasons. Like a giant international hit.
You did that for a while. And then how did you end up as an entertainment reporter?
So her neighbor wrote for the LA Daily News and basically was like, hey, I heard that you can write because Emily had told her about my graduation speech. And she's like, I need some help covering like movie premieres and events and stuff. Would you want to go? And I was like, I'm like cleaning up cat litter over here. So I started that part time. At night, I would like go to movie premieres. Like my first interview was Will Smith on the red carpet. I was like, "What am I doing?"
Were you nervous?
I was very nervous.
Yeah,
because I didn't know what to ask people. You know, and
what am I doing wrong right now? Help me out.
You're doing great. I feel like people were always like, "What are you wearing?" That was like always the thing that.
Are people interested in that? Like, I have no interest I think it's
women.
I don't have a vagina, I guess. So that's what the problem is.
You need a vagina for us to care
because
what you're wearing.
Like these, like Charlie, my sound guy, his girlfriend watches all the
Grammys?
Yeah.
I'm watching the shoe cams, the 360 nail cams. Then the event starts and we turn it off. We don't actually watch the Grammys. That's the boring part. It's just everybody walking into an event.
I just tuned in to find out what they were wearing. Yeah. Now that I know, I'm not interested.
Yeah, I just have no interest whatsoever in that.
Yeah.
But I guess there is a market for that kind of stuff.
Well, when you're on the red carpet, you only have like a couple minutes with these people. Like, how deep can you really?
It's hard to ask.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, you're probably racking your brain, like, what could I ask that will be different? And there's probably 50 people lined up that have asked the same. So, what is it like to work with? Insert
and that's what it is.
Name. Yeah.
And it, you know, so they're all like, hey, that's why everyone on the red carpet is like, hey, oh my gosh.
There are just a handful of people, too, that when you ask, how was it like working with someone? Always the answer is, oh, they were great.
Yeah.
But there are like a couple of people that I've had. And
who will
like,
just
no,
like lay it out
yeah,
there.
Yeah. What was the guy's, TJ Miller? He told us before the movie came out, he was here.
TJ doesn't mind speaking his mind.
No, he doesn't. And whatever the director of, was it Michael Bay?
Michael Bay,
the director of those dumb robot movies?
Transformers.
Yeah.
It was before the movie came out, and I'm like, oh, so how's that? He's like, that guy was a total dick to work with.
Oh,
I'm
man.
Like, really? You're going to say that before? He's said, like, I don't care.
He did that whole article talking about the Silicon Valley people he didn't, some of the people yeah. he didn't like.
Yeah, and I think the guy, he may be sort of losing it mentally, too.
I mean, that could
he
be
just got arrested
happening.
Like a month or two ago for...
Some sort of...
He called in a bomb, like he was on a train, and he got into a dispute with someone.
Yeah,
and he's like, you know what? Screw this bitch. I'm going to call in a bomb threat and say
to her,
they'll never find out it was me.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah.
Those FBI guys don't know what they're doing. They'll never put two and two together.
I still don't know what happened with that.
Isn't that a weird thing?
Because I know TJ from Chelsea lately, and but he texted me like a couple months after that. And I didn't really want to, like, get into it
with
him.
It's a hard thing to bring up.
Yeah.
Right? You have to, like...
It's like an FBI thing. I was like, I don't want my phone tapped or anything.
Any trail of evidence
on
your
phone. So I'm like, say nothing, hear nothing.
It's like the kind of thing you have to be in person, have a few drinks. Oh, what happened?
So what happened with that? Yeah. But hopefully he's okay. I don't...
All a big misunderstanding, I'm sure he'll say. So you do that for a while, for years.
I do it for 7 years, and I did not go to LA thinking I would be a comedian. I did some theater in college, and I really sucked at it. And they were like, put me in the sound booth. They're like, oh, you can press play
on the
music.
You're more behind the scenes kind of person.
You're not really in front of the audience type of gal. But we were also doing like weird plays, you know, it was like very modern plays. It'd either be like some obscure modern play, or it'd be like a Holocaust like, and who's gonna believe that I was in the Holocaust
victim?
I'm like, you know, a giant woman and with a southern accent. And so I got to LA, and it just was really hard to meet people out there. It's a big city, and I was not making friends. And so I started taking improv at the Groundlings, and it's a school out there for improv and sketch that, like, Will Ferrell went to, Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy, Maya Rudolph, a very well-known school for comedy. And I went there to just make friends, and it, like, slowly...
So you hadn't done any stand-up or anything prior to that?
No,
this
never.
Was your first... sort of introduction to comedy. And when are you nervous when you start up in this? First of all, you probably have to get accepted to it or something.
Well,
do you have to audition, or how do you get into this?
You can do a couple of levels for fun before they're like, you know, really testing you. So I did the like fun levels, and I was like, oh, this is really awesome. It was kind of a time in my life where I was sort of figuring out who I was in general. Like, I was not out of the closet yet, and it wasn't like I was purposefully in the closet. I just didn't know I was gay.
You hadn't figured this out.
I hadn't figured that out yet, and my first name is Emily. Fortune is my middle name, and I had grown up as Emily, but I'd always thought, like, you know, maybe I'll go by Fortune, because my grandmother really wanted me to have that as my first name. It was her mother's maiden name. And my mom thought it was too big of a name. And so when I got to L.A., I was like, man, like, my grandmother had died, and she was a big influence on me. I was like, I'd really like to go by Fortune. It's kind of like a nod to my grandmother. But it's kind of a weird thing to, like,
makes
suddenly,
you stand out a little bit.
Yeah. And but, like, when you grow up as one name, it's kind of weird to suddenly
just
be like,
change it.
I'm just going to be this person now. So my first improv class, I just decided I was going to tell them.
Be Fortune. But is it liberating in a way that you are now you go by a different name, and all of the previous stuff in your life just wiped out?
Dies. Yeah. Emily's dead. Well, I think I was testing the waters with that improv class to see how it felt. And I remember at the end of the class, they go, let's go, you know, everyone sit in a circle and say it. Everyone's name that you remember their name, and everyone couldn't remember anyone's name, and I was the only person in the whole class. Everyone was like, Fortune, 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 Fortune. And I was like, oh, maybe there's
so you're
something
onto
to
something.
This.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so from that day forward, I started using Fortune, and for some reason I thought I could be Emily in life and Fortune on stage, but it doesn't really work like that.
It all just
like
sort of
that.
Merged
yeah.
into one and the same.
And it's trippy. It's come full circle because I have a very tiny part in this new Happy Time Murders movie coming out with Melissa McCarthy. And they billed me as Emily Fortune Feenster. That's never happened in my whole career. So yeah. It feels like this weird full circle moment.
Now, have you seen the trailer for that, Rover?
I have.
With the puppets?
It's like Dirty Puppets.
I yeah, have not seen that.
Ejaculating trailer. And doing drugs.
Oh, sweet.
It looks awesome. Pretty crazy.
A kids movie, huh?
Very kid friendly.
Now, working as this entertainment reporter, has it given you a different perspective now? Like when you're in an interview now, when you are the interviewee instead of the interviewer, do you have... I find that people, a lot of comedians who do podcasts, I think that a lot of them came in and they sort of changed their perspective of coming in and doing radio or TV because now they've done podcasts where they have someone come in and do their show.
So they don't want to be a jerk.
Well, I think it just gives you a different perspective on it.
I mean, I definitely realized early on the importance of doing interviews. I would interview a lot of people that acted like, ugh, what am I doing? Like, why are we talking? What am I doing? And like it's all part of a thing. Like, you need something from me. I need something from you. We're all, like, we have a goal here. I want to get stuff out about a show. I want to talk about things. They want to have a good interview. You're all trying to accomplish something.
Yeah.
But you help each other, you know. So I kind of learned to, like, that it's part of the process, and and I also learned just to be a normal person. There were so many people that just came in, or I would do a lot of interviews on the phone that would just, you could tell they weren't being themselves or like a normal person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just have a conversation. Like, you don't have to put on this big show for an interview. So it just, I don't know, I guess it helped me be myself a little bit more.
By the way, Fortune, what are you wearing this morning?
This is, I think, Gap.
Uh-huh.
Very fancy company called the Gop. I'm like constantly wearing jeans and t-shirts.
Now, Douchey just told me that you sold something to Steven Spielberg or his company or something. What did you sell?
I've now sold two comedy movies to Steven Spielberg's company, Amblin.
Uh-huh.
I sold my first one to him. To back up for a second, I had a very small part in the movie Office Christmas Party.
Okay.
It came out a couple years ago.
Is that the one?
That was with T.J. Miller.
Is that the one where they...
Jennifer Aniston?
Jennifer Aniston, Jason Bateman.
Yeah, it was good. It was fun.
Is that the one where something crazy happens?
Somebody falls down some stairs. Yeah. Like on a sled.
Oh, yeah. I saw that movie.
It was about
I actually liked that movie.
Office Christmas Party.
And it just came on HBO or something, and I happened to start watching it. Like, the first 15 minutes were already jumped
funny.
In.
It's pretty funny. I play the Uber driver to Jennifer Aniston.
Okay.
And so I only... was supposed to have, like, you know, like 30-second scene where I deliver a piece of information. Basically, I tell her that they're having a party, and I get to set, and the directors are super cool, and the scene wasn't really that funny. I just had to deliver that information, and they were like, you can kind of do whatever you want.
Improv a little bit. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, awesome. Well, can I just rewrite the whole scene? And they were like, sure. And they let me just, like, sit in a car with Jennifer Aniston for 2 hours and make up all this stuff. So I, like, started riffing on her character's name, Carol, calling her old, basically. I'm like, hi, I'm Carol. I died in the beginning of Up. and so it just led to this whole, like, funny little scene. They ended up bringing me back a couple months later to film a scene to be the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so Amblin was... part of that movie, and so basically Steven Spielberg's people were like, if you ever, you know, have
you
anything, let us
else.
Know.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are you, I don't know how to write Jaws, you know, something like you think that Steven Spielberg would want. I was like, well, we're working on this movie, it's called Bad Cop, and they ended up buying it. It's this action comedy where, like, two rookie cops who are female, it's kind of like a comedy Training Day.
Mm-hmm.
They get into some hot water trying to do the dirty work for a lieutenant in it's really fun and crazy. And so that's, it's been a year and a half. They just are about to attach a director, and we'll see what happens with that. And then 2 weeks ago, they bought another movie from us called Field Trip.
Mm-hmm.
These teachers take middle school students on a field trip, and one of the teachers gets dumped, and they go out to drink and end up losing one of the kids.
One of the kids disappears.
Yeah.
So now they have to figure out how to get this kid back without losing their job.
That's right.
Now,
you already know the movie. I don't need to write it.
When they buy a movie like that, is there a significant amount of money attached to it at the time? Or is it because most of the stuff, it's so hard to even get out of, to get made, to get anything moving.
Especially
with
movies,
these things.
Yeah.
So do they pay anything, like a decent amount of money just for it right up front?
Yeah, I mean, it's decent. I mean, in comparison to, you know, the rest of the world,
sure,
it's great money. But it's, they give you like a little chunk of change to basically, they have the rights to it, and then they'll pay you a couple times to you're always doing rewrites on these things. I've sold two TV pilots as well in the past, and there's a little bit of an easier road getting a TV show, at least the pilot shot, than it is to get a movie made.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're potentially putting $30 million into this thing, so they got to really
like it.
But then you wonder, like, how does some of these, like, really crappy movies get made?
They're all crappy. Almost every movie that I watch, I go, I put on Apple TV now, and, like, on a Friday night or something, I'll go, oh, let me see what movie. And I just scroll through, like, 8,000 movies.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in seeing any of these, really.
And I've learned, having been in this process now a year and a half with the movie, you know, there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen. They definitely have a lot
of... Waters everything down.
Yeah, a lot of people have different ideas about what's funny. They're also, if they're going to invest $30 million into something, they want to make sure, you know, it's not too dirty, it's not this or that. So you're trying to, like, follow these old structures that, you know, have worked in other movies. And then, you know, you never... It's a little harder to take risk, you know, when it involves a lot of money from someone else's pocketbook.
Sure.
So I'm definitely learning about this process. It'd be awesome to just sell a script and just make that movie, but that rarely happens. It usually goes through like 7 huge rewrites with like 50 people weighing
in. And
there are
all these people that are weighing in. And probably, I guess on some projects, maybe it actually helps the end product, but on many, it may... Like you, too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah, I mean the version that we sold originally of Bad Cop was pretty rated R, and
dirty,
I definitely know it will not be that as dirty as what we wrote originally,
right.
And that maybe that'll be for the best. Well, you know, we
maybe.
Don't know.
Probably not. Right.
Well, if we get to make it, which, you know, fingers crossed, I think it will still be really, really funny movie.
Fortune Feimster is here with us. She's going to be at Hilarity's 4th Street Theater tonight at 7:30 and 10, and tomorrow at 7 and 9:30. So you get into the Groundlings, then you start, you're doing this, which is improv stuff. How long till you move into stand-up?
So I was about 2 years into improv, and I quickly realized that the only way to get better at comedy is to be on stage. And at the time at the Groundlings, they made it very difficult to have stage time. And I was like, what are we doing? Like, we're just going to do classes all the time. And so I started while I was still taking improv and sketch classes there, I started my own sketch comedy group. And we were doing a show, and somebody came to the show, and they were like, hey, like, do you do stand-up? And I was like, no, it seems really scary. And they were like, well, you have a very specific point of view. Like, you seem like a stand-up. Like, you should do it. And I'd always thought it was really cool. I remember, like, watching people being like, man, I wish I could do that. But it just seemed so daunting. And I was like, what would I even talk about? And she was just like, my friend teaches a class. Just go take his class and just see. And I took this, like, I was very nerdy about it. I took, like, a 6-week. Stand-up class, and you don't really learn anything in a class other than it just makes you get up on a stage and talk into a microphone, which is almost the hardest part when first starting. And then at the end of the 6 weeks, we did a 5-minute spot at the Comedy Store in LA. And when I did that 5 minutes, and my first set was so stupid. It was like, I hate strawberries. It was something dumb like that. But I just remember loving the feeling.
You enjoyed it.
I loved it, yeah. And that the guy who taught that class had a show in the Comedy Store every Sunday night. So he was like, I'll let you have 10 minutes every Sunday night. If you, again, do the sound. I don't know how I end up doing the music for people's shows. But when you're a brand new comic, to know you have 10 minutes every mm-hmm. Sunday was huge for me. So it helped me gather my material a lot quicker than that wasn't the only show I was doing, but I had that stage time, which was invaluable. So it really made me go through the Comedy Store a lot faster.
And you approach this in a nerdy way, like mm-hmm. you were studious at first. Now,
yeah.
you were a good student, weren't you?
I
went to like this liberal arts college, all female.
I went to an all women's college.
I can only imagine. I'm sure that they're not all into hashtag Me Too and everything else at this liberal arts college.
Right.
I can just picture it in my mind. I've never heard of the college you went to, but
it wasn't quite as like hippy dippy as it sounds.
Well, there's one out here in this area. What's it? What is it?
Oberlin.
Oh,
Lena Dunham went.
Oh yeah.
Oh right.
And
right.
It's like they just recently banned sushi because it's culturally appropriated.
No, we were not like
okay,
that.
Okay, you weren't like that.
No, these girls were like super nice girls who were just like, I'm gonna go party at NC State on the weekend. It was a very chill school, but because it was a small school, if you like, our classes had like 15 to 20 people in them, and if you didn't show up for class, I had professors knock on my dorm door, be like, well,
where are you?
Where
what are
you?
Doing?
So
what,
you were
you
very
hung
much
over in there.
Yeah,
or something?
You were very much held accountable, and my girlfriend, she went to like Michigan State. Then you know there's like 300 people in a class. They didn't care.
Yeah, they don't even know if you're
there. Yeah, so it was a different. It was different in that way. So I was pretty nerdy in college. I graduated summa cum laude, but I was like a secret nerd. I was like very social and hanging out with everybody. And then at like 1 a.m, I'd go in my room and study for 3 hours.
So you're a secret nerd and you were a secret lesbian at the
time,
too.
I had a lot going on.
You had a lot of things in the closet.
And how I didn't know I was a lesbian at a women's college is pretty crazy.
Yeah, how do you not figure that out?
I don't know. I just was so feminine.
but I mean, this is, so you really didn't know. I mean,
you're saying this
truthfully that... I think I read somewhere about you that you didn't figure. I don't know how old you were, 20-something or what?
25 is when I came out. Yeah.
But you must have figured it out prior to that.
No, I mean, it was one of those things where I knew something was different. You know, I knew that how I felt. I was very intense about certain friendships where I'd be like, you know, I used to have this old joke in my stand-up routine, but it very much rang true where I would get so worked up about some friends. My mom would be like, I don't understand why you get so upset when your friend Michelle goes out on a date with a guy. And I was like, because she's my best friend. And I would have this intensity towards certain friends that I didn't know what that was. And it seems so naive now to think that I could be that, have such a lack of awareness, but it really was a different time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we did not have, there was no YouTube, there was no like Will and Grace. You just didn't have that in front of you to see like, oh, that's me. And it does make a difference.
But like let's say you're laying down, you're going to diddle yourself or something. you're not thinking.
There wasn't a lot of diddling.
There wasn't. No,
you had a roommate that was like 2 feet away from
all
you.
All right. Because I'm just thinking, like, what would you think of? Like, you wouldn't think of women?
Brad Pitt, for sure. No, no, I don't know. It wasn't a big part of my life. Maybe I was, like, weirdly asexual or something at the time. It just sex, and I was kind of, like, naive in all of that way. I didn't really have a boyfriend. I just, and my, the women's college I went to was very much, like, there were a lot of, it's so weird to say this, it sounds very antiquated, there were a lot of virgins at the time. It was, I don't know what it was, it was a different, a little more of an innocent time in a weird way with at that place. And so sex was not on, like, the forefront of people's minds.
So how'd you figure it out? What was it? Where, when did you have that lightning bolt that came down and you go,
Whoa,
I'm a lesbian.
Whoa, I'm a lesbian. It's kind of embarrassing. So I moved to LA, and I mean, it's clear in hindsight, you can look back and like, see all it, like, oh my God, it's softball and blah, blah, blah. And you know, when I went down on that one girl, no, I wish it had been that journey. I had not done anything with a girl. That show, The L Word, had come out on Showtime, and I remember like secretly watching it, like when no one's around, I'm like, oh, this is, wow, this is making me feel
like
things.
Yeah.
This was when Craigslist was like really popular, and people were like having personal ads there, like,
right, right.
Or like it was almost like a dating site. And I went on a couple of like blind dates.
You did?
Yeah. And they were awful. I was terrified. I was like, maybe I'm not gay because
this is so bad.
I'm very scared of these women. And it just turns out these just weren't women for me. Like, you know, you don't just like realize you're gay and then
any woman
will do. Yeah. But I was watching a Lifetime movie. I was watching a Lifetime movie, as one does, and I knew it was like bubbling up. I knew that something was, you know, that gay thing was trying to come out, but I was like still suppressing it, being from the South and all that. And I was watching a Lifetime movie, and this young girl in high school on this movie realized she was a lesbian, and there was this whole journey of it. Her mom was very much against it, and then at the end she was like supported her, and I just saw this like young girl in high school on this movie be okay with being gay, and it just triggered something inside of me
it
where
clicked.
I was like, oh my God,
I'm gay.
And I cannot believe for the life of me that it was a Lifetime movie that made
now,
that
conservatives
light
would say that it didn't. It was actually a Lifetime movie that made you gay.
I know, and that's part of my stand-up. I talk about how, you know, they say we shouldn't be watching gay content, and I'm like, they're right. It makes you gay.
Did you try to be with men prior to this revelation? Did you ever have a boyfriend? Did you have sex with men?
I gave a hand job once.
Yeah.
And
so did Dieter one time, but let's not talk about that.
I talk about it. I do it joking. I did that stand-up thing on Netflix, and I talk about giving my one and only hand job.
Yeah.
And how I treated it like a hot clarinet, just grabbing onto it real, real hard and fast. And,
does your arm get tired? Because when women try to do this, I mean, I haven't really had...
you hadn't given a hand job.
Well, no, I'm saying, but I haven't really received this since, like, it's kind of a junior high thing.
Oh,
maybe high
it?
School, like, you know, chicks will do that to you. After that, you're like, okay.
You don't like it after a certain time?
No, because women are terrible at doing it.
Oh.
Like, they're just so... how do you even...
They have no experience with it.
Yeah.
What, they grab too hard?
No, I don't... No.
It's like they're using... the wrong hand with it. It's like if I were to do it if
sign
like with
your
my
name
left hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's like okay.
Just something's not right about it. I
you
don't
guys
know.
Are like we can do it better to ourselves. That's interesting. I didn't know it stopped after a certain age. I just assumed it was always a good time.
Well, no. Has anyone had that? Like, when was the last time you had a girl do that to you?
High school.
High
you
school.
Want something else? You want to go. Farther now.
Yeah, you want anal.
We're adults here.
But he likes to receive it, not give it, right? Is that what you're getting at? You can just tell by the look at it.
He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
She's a lesbian. She can identify a gay guy, dude.
He's like, whoa, whoa, let's not get too crazy. Well, that's good to know.
So what now being from the South, where are you from? North Carolina?
I'm from North Carolina, I was a good Christian.
The parents, do you tell them after you watch this Lifetime movie?
Oh, that my parents said I was gay? Yeah, I mean, so once I realized I was gay, I was like, oh my God, I have no gay friends. I've got to like now sit people down and tell them I'm gay. It's very nerve-wracking because I didn't know how my parents would react. You know, you think the worst, you just assume that they're going to be like, never.
They're Christian, right?
Like they're Christian, but... Like, not, we weren't like hardcore Super, Southern Baptists or anything. We were Methodist, so that's kind of like Christian light, you know? And we just wanted to get to the Chili's.
How do you tell them? By the way, Fortune Feimster is here with us, and she's going to be at Hilarities tonight and tomorrow night. I'll give you the number for tickets here. How do you sit them down and tell them?
I flew to North Carolina, and I was like, I got to tell them before I leave. And I was like, I'm going to tell them on the last day.
Yeah.
Like, right, honestly, like 3 hours.
At the gate, like getting ready to go. Like,
by the way.
I'm a lesbian. What did she say before she got done?
Yeah, I waited for the last possible moment, and I was like sitting at a restaurant with my mom. It's like a Chinese buffet, very classy in North Carolina. And I just was like, hey, just so you know, like my life's going to be different. And she's like, what? Because it's hard to say the word lesbian and gay for some reason when you're first coming out. It's a very tough word. And I try to use everything but I'm gay. And I was just like, my life's not going to be what you pictured it to be. Like, I'm just letting you know.
She's like, she's confused.
What are you trying to say? And I finally was just like, I think I'm gay. And she just kind of sat there like pretty quiet. And she did get a little teary-eyed. And I knew in the moment she wasn't mad at me. I knew like she wasn't going to like disown me. For her, it was. You have a vision, I think, of what your child's life is going to be. And you kind of, I think as a parent, you picture like their wedding and their husband and having kids. And it was almost like letting go of that vision was more sad than it was like, oh, I'm sad you're a lesbian. Mm-hmm. So, and she was just kind of like, are you sure? And I'm like, I'm pretty sure. And it just was a process for her. She was never like anti-gay. Now she's like super gay supporter. She's like president of the PFLAG, which is like this parent organization that supports gay people. But telling my dad was a little more nerve-wracking for me because, you know, he's a very, like, southern, like, guy's guy. And I was just like, you know, I wasn't actually going to tell him. And my mom was like, tell him. And I'm like, Mom, shut up. And I was like, Dad, I'm gay. And he was just like, well, you're my daughter. I love you. You're my daughter. And he was so nervous that he just kept repeating that you're my daughter. And my mom, I didn't realize it was right behind us. She's like, Mike, she knows she's your daughter. She's telling you she's gay. So, like, suddenly they're fighting. They're divorced. And it was no longer about me being gay. Just them fight. Mike,
hating
you always do this. Yeah.
This is why we're not together anymore.
She can't even talk to you about this. God, Mike.
Now, are you engaged now?
I think
I saw that on the internet.
Yeah, I got engaged like your, in January.
How do they refer to this? Like, because I just got married a few weeks ago.
Oh, congrats.
Thank you. Now, is it your fiance or is there like, this is a dumb question. But in fact, my wife just asked me because there's a gay guy that works here in the sales department. I just saw him over the weekend.
I don't see him often.
Well,
Gay Charlie.
Is
his name really Charlie?
No.
Oh, I thought I was like, really amazing. Gay Charles.
And so I'm talking to this guy, and afterwards she goes, why do you always ask him about, you know, like gay stuff? And I'm like, it's because I'm just fascinated by it.
Oh,
because
yeah?
it's just something that I like things. I don't know much about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not that I don't know much about it. You can imagine. But it's to me, it's an interesting thing because I like it. You know, when I go and we meet fans and we travel around the country and we run into people.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a garbage man, I'm like, I want to hear all about your job as a garbage man because I don't know much about it or whatever. So it's kind of the same
thing.
That's good, though. So is it your fiance? What do you refer to her as?
I mean, she is my fiance, but that's such a weird word, don't you think?
I always hated that word.
So every time
it's almost why I got married, because I'm like, I never thought I'd get married, but I just hated the word. I didn't think I'd get engaged either, but I hate this word, fiance.
I know, it sounds so like, I don't know if pretentious is the right word, but it's like, this is my fiance, so I'm always constantly referring to her as my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Just because that word's so weird. And I think I'm similar as you. I never really thought I'd get engaged, or I certainly never pictured what my wedding would be like. And we haven't planned anything, but we've been together now 3 years, and we got engaged earlier this year. She's awesome. She's a kindergarten teacher.
How'd you meet her?
I met her in Chicago. Nice Midwestern girl. at Gay Pride. I had friends there, and we had mutual friends, and just started chatting, and I've kind of been together ever since. It was one of those weird things. I wasn't looking for someone. I had dated a couple stinkers, and you just kind of like, you're like, ugh, dating sucks. And it is that cliche of that you hear people say all the time when that you're not looking, you least expect it, boom. And that was exactly what happened. She just like appeared out of nowhere. It was so weird.
She's good looking too.
Yeah,
I saw a photo
beautiful.
Of her. She's a good looking girl.
She is. Thank God I have a good personality.
Well, do you, I saw a photo of you on the internet, and
okay.
It's you in a Hooters girl outfit.
Yeah.
And the article, I skimmed through the article. I knew you were coming on. By the way, Fortune Feimster here with us, and she's going to be at Hilarities tonight and tomorrow night. So it's like you're in this funny pose and like this Hooters outfit kind of thing or whatever.
Uh-huh.
The article's talking about how, funny it is, blah, blah, blah. And I wondered, well, here it is. Here's the actual thank you, Snitz. Good job, Snitz.
Early comedy
and I started wondering, is there, and like you see that and you go, she's so in touch with, like they think the article, like, she's so in touch with
she's
her
so
body,
brave.
Whatever, like so brave, uh-huh. She'll do whatever. She's so
uninhibited or something.
Right. And I started thinking about that this morning, and is that true, or is it almost like a defense mechanism where you're like, I'm going to just accept I'm a larger
right.
woman, I'm going to own it?
Yeah.
And then I started thinking, do you get pigeonholed in that kind of...
that thing?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's probably a little bit of all of that. There is a thing to it of like addressing it before anyone else does. Like I'm going to point out my weaknesses before you can. That's mm-hmm. kind of a stand-up defense mechanism. So it probably started with that. And there is a genuine like whatever. There's like a whatever. I know like I have a larger body and it's funny to me to wear a tiny outfit. But I don't want to get too reliant on that. Like I just filmed this thing the other day where I was doing a dance competition and we wore a leotard in one of the dances, and then they wanted me to wear another one, and I was like, you know what, no, I just wore one.
Right.
I can't just rely on that. I've got to force myself to be funny in a different way. So there is a trap that you can fall into where you only rely on the physical joke of being a larger woman. But I think I genuinely like myself. And it's weird to say that because there's so many people that have a hard time escaping childhood and adolescence with any self-esteem. And so honestly, I'm sure there are people who think that me dressing like that or making fun of myself is some sort of like self-deprecating or self-hating kind of thing, but it's honestly not. It's like, I know I'm a big girl, like whatever. I don't have, like, of course I want to be healthier and lose weight, but I'm not like sitting here hating myself mm-hmm. and just wallowing in my shame and trying to make a joke out of it. I'm just kind of like okay with it. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just like, this is who I am, and I don't know. I don't have a problem kind of poking fun of myself.
Have you gotten how long have you been doing stand up now?
I guess it would be 11 years.
When you go back and you look at 11 years ago, because mm-hmm. like I've been doing radio for 20 years, and it took me probably many years actually to be comfortable doing it.
Oh yeah,
it really did. If you go back and you look 11 years ago, mm-hmm. are you like, God, I was horrible back then?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's some old, there's somebody.
Persists and they won't
take
it down.
They're just like, nope, it's ours. You're like, okay, cool. And it's like me being terrible at stand-up. You just kind of like, whatever, it's a journey, But I definitely feel like I've grown a lot as a performer. You do it so much. I'm on the road so much that now you just like, you just connect with the audience faster. And writing material will always be the hardest part. I think it's, writing stand-up is the hardest part of the entertainment world as far as writing and comedy. It's tough. It's tough. And that part, I'm constantly like, oh, you got to write stand-up. You know, come on, pull it together. But the actual performance has evolved a lot. And I love to talk to the audience. I do a lot of crowd work. Having had an improv background, I like to see what I can come up with and see if I can weave it into a show. Mm-hmm. And it makes the audience feel like that show is kind of special for them. But you definitely evolve, or that's the hope. And I don't know. I still fall into those traps of talking about weight and being gay. And you want to break out of that and move beyond that. But sometimes it's hard because that's what you know.
And that is just who you are.
Yeah.
Too.
I mean, I've only known what it's like to be a bigger girl. I'm gay. So that is the lens that I see things through. But then I talk about family a lot, and I try to find at least something in every show that everyone can relate to in mm-hmm. some way. You know, being a daughter, being in a relationship, figuring out work or life or something that people are like, oh, yes, I get that. So I don't want it to just be gay and fat.
What's the next thing people will be able to see you in? Like if they go, okay, I've heard her on Rover's Morning Glory. The next thing that they're going to come across you in?
I'm kind of in that in-between stage. I just did Mindy Project for 3 seasons and the show Champions that just got canceled. I'm in a big development stage right now. So yeah. I just sold those movies. I have just sold another thing I can't talk about yet because the deal's not closed yet, but it'll be a really fun non-scripted thing that I think people really like. And then we're trying to sell another TV idea. So there's a lot of like maybes coming. Right, right. And then I have a recurring role in Life in Pieces. So people will, I pop up on that. I just did my first action movie, which was kind of trippy. Yeah? It's called Live, and it's starring Aaron Eckhart, and it'll be out probably next year, where I was like the computer genius. And
okay.
I'm like, for real? You want me to be the computer genius? Like, I open my mouth.
The girl with the southern accent is the computer genius?
Yeah, I open my mouth, a banjo falls out. We'd love for you to be the computer genius. All right, cool. So who knows how that movie will
turn out. We have 100 gigabits coming across the line right now.
So that would be fun. And then I did an episode of Claws, and I think, you know, they've talked about me maybe appearing in next season, so... I pop up on things all the time. I have a tiny part in that Happy Time Murders movie that comes out today. So I definitely show up in a lot of different projects. But hopefully I can get these projects off the ground that I've sold. And like next year, people will get to start seeing me in my own vehicles.
Well, go see her tonight at Hilarity's 4th Street Theater, 7:30 and 10 o'clock tonight, 7 and 9:30 tomorrow night. And here's the number for tickets, 216-736-4242. That's 216-736-4242. You can also go to hilarities.com for tickets. Fortune Feimster, thank you for
coming in.
Good luck with all of these. I hope that next time you roll through town, I hope that all of these things have come to fruition.
That I'm here promoting these things.
You're coming in on a private jet.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, man.
Yeah.
Lots of cheese plates.
So good luck with all of those.
Thank you.
Go see her tonight at Hilarities. I do have to take a break. We'll be right back on Rover's Morning Glory. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
Doesn't know the meaning of fear. But again, he doesn't know the meaning of most words.
You always say the first letter of the alphabet first.
Now back to Rover's Morning Glory.
couple of good stories I want to tell you about. This one, Dieter, has been hounding me for all morning long. You're going to have to explain this one to me, Dieter, because I haven't watched this yet. Give me the rundown in a nutshell.
Talk about the farting guy?
Yeah.
Paul Flart?
Yeah, Paul Flart. The security guard, he's bored at work, and there's great acoustics in this building. So he noticed one time when he farted, it like echoed and reverberated. What's the word?
Reverberated.
Reverberated everywhere.
Reverberated?
Yeah. Everywhere in this building. So he's like, well, I better start recording myself, like on selfie mode, farting.
And he had an Instagram. Yeah, he started an Instagram account of his farts.
And it's so funny. So then his work found out about it. Well, first let's watch. Want to watch the
compilation?
There's a compilation of this.
But he didn't do the compilation.
No.
Somebody else did a compilation of all the farts and then posted it on YouTube. All right.
Yes, but so like he'd been doing it for
six months.
Yeah. He's been doing it, and he started getting a lot of followers. He's up to 50,000 followers on Instagram.
It's quite that many?
Yeah, because it's
all these
pretty,
farts are good.
Technique. It's a talent that I've never really seen before.
Oh, God.
Madge's girlfriend only has 2,000 followers on Instagram. This guy has 50,000.
Step it up.
If she needs to
start farting?
Yeah. Paul Flart.
I'm going to start farting if I can get more followers.
Well, he's just got, he looks funny. It's really the perfect situation.
So do I.
He's sitting there.
And he looks like Paul Blart.
Mall cop.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
And so he farts on top of it.
I guess it was just like 2 days ago, maybe, somebody posted this
compilation.
They took all these different Instagram videos. And here you go.
Let me watch this. By the way, it does, there's still more, but it does really reverberate. You have to be careful that no one is in the general vicinity of this,
they
right?
They gotta be, because he looks up like, oh, that was louder than I thought. There's gotta be grandmas walking in this place. And some of those are wet. Do you hear those? Some of those are like...
You think there's some remnants there?
Yeah, sharks.
That's worth it.
This is a green story.
That one.
I almost had to hear that one again.
That was a rattlesnake.
Oh, I love it.
That was nice.
So then that got posted, and that started spreading everywhere.
So he'd been posting these on Instagram for 6 months.
Under the radar.
Uh-huh.
But didn't, once the compilation came out, he hit a level of fame he was not ready for. And his work found out what his dirty little secret that he was doing on the job as Paul Flart.
Uh-huh.
So he got called into work, I think maybe it was yesterday.
The YouTube is recent.
Yeah, he just started... filming himself because he has a meeting with his boss that day. So that's the next video.
All right, here it is.
So we're going live. About to get fired from my job, probably. Let's find out.
Hey,
what's going on?
Not much. Listen, we need to talk, man.
Yeah.
Hold on. There's a bunch of pissed off people here.
Okay.
Okay. What are you doing with your phone?
I'm recording, sir.
Why are you recording?
Because.
Take it off.
No, sir.
Yes, sir.
No, sir.
You're not going to record me wearing that uniform.
I'm not recording you, sir. I'm recording me, sir.
Okay. You can turn it off.
Okay. Well, so you're firing me anyway, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so I'm going
to
keep.
But you need to turn it off.
If you're going to fire me, I'm done.
Okay.
So I can just walk out of here right now, and then if that's it.
Okay.
I mean, if you guys are going to fire me, like, what's.
Well, you do realize that you're on a client's property.
Yeah.
Wearing our uniform.
100%. I'm not going to argue the facts of you getting, you know.
That's what thing. Now,
yeah.
Again, it's come to our attention that you've recorded yourself in our uniform.
Yeah.
On the client's property.
Never showing any logos or anything, though.
You can. I'm not going to argue with that. That's for an attorney.
That's fine.
It's for an attorney. What?
He's ruined the beautiful security guard uniform. I just can't believe he's taking.
I love. He's
serious.
Like, you're wearing our uniform. It just says security officer.
I'm waiting for the guy to take the badge from him.
Here's your write up.
Okay.
You can read it. If you want to dispute it, there's plenty of room down here, or on the back side that I left for you.
Okay.
Okay. So if you want to dispute it, that's fine. I have asked you to stop recording. You're refusing. So what I need you to do is go ahead and read that.
Okay. So let me see this real quick. Can I not see this?
No.
Okay. An unusually high amount of time. Okay.
I think 75 times would account as
3-second videos, though?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
75 times using something that you knew that you shouldn't be using.
Okay.
What?
So, I mean... That's fine. All right.
Do you wish to sign?
No.
Okay.
I mean, it's irrelevant, you know, at this point, for sure.
Okay. Good luck.
That's it?
Yep.
We're all done here?
Yep.
That's it. We lost the job, guys. That's it.
I need the badges, please.
Yeah, sure. You can have this.
The badges?
I'll drop the shirts off to George.
Stop recording while you're on this property.
I'm just gonna leave the property.
That's fine.
So
but stop recording now.
Okay.
While you're off the property.
No.
Until you're off the property.
All right. So that's it, guys.
You are on private property.
That's it. We're done. Paul Flart will continue in the future. Please stay tuned. Thanks, guys.
I'm asking.
Appreciate all of you. We're done, brother.
Oh my God!
Paul Flart,
what a douche!
So hard.
Get him on the phone, Ads. We got to talk to this guy.
What a douche that guy is!
Can you find this guy?
He doesn't even provide his last name.
Oh, I need to find this guy.
It's not his real name.
He's
How
in
great
for-
is he?
He's in
so
Florida.
What was the 75?
What part of Florida? 75 times he posted himself farting. That's what it was.
Yeah. Polk County.
Polk County. Okay.
That's awesome.
I need to find this guy. And offer him our phone screener position.
Just fart all day. You want to know his diet, which helped with all those farts?
Yeah.
Granola.
Okay.
Asparagus and beans. That's what he said really helped.
Gets him going. All right.
So what is the part? Why did he get fired?
He's recording on. He's not supposed to be using his phone. I think is the.
Oh, that's
excuse.
The. Okay.
I can understand why, if you're running a security company and you're paying this guy to sit there, I understand why they fired him.
It was literally 1 second.
When you say,
why
did they fire him? No. Well,
who cares? It was a fart. It was funny. Write him up. You do it again,
hey,
you're fired.
I don't know if I would have fired him or not, but I don't think that you can be surprised that he was fired. Can you?
Can't you say this is a medical issue and go... Flatulence, I can't control it. You cannot fire me.
Oh, if he would have told me that.
But it was more the filming, I think.
It's recording for his doctor.
Yeah, that's just an everyday, you know, surveillance.
Uh-huh.
Just watching out for robbers, and then a fart comes on every once in a while.
Just so happened to be coincidence every time.
That boss looks like a douche.
Well,
totally.
I think that this guy will...
He'll be fine.
What do you think he's... I predict he will get a job in radio. This seems like something, a morning show and wherever.
I think he'll get a job in television.
Farting?
He'll do so. His facial expressions. He's very funny. I think he'll be fine.
All right. Well, good luck to him.
That was great.
There's another story I want to tell you about. Let me see if I can find this. This is great. This takes incredible balls. So, this woman in, this is in North Carolina, I believe. No, maybe not. Maybe it's, where is this? Maybe it is Arkansas. Yeah, Arkansas. Here it is. So this guy is in jail in Arkansas. His name is Nicholas Lowe. He's at the Washington County Detention Center. And they're holding him. I don't even know what he's in jail for, but they're holding him. He's been in there for a while. He's wanted, I think, in the state of California. Probably has some warrants out. So Ventura, California, a deputy walks into the jail, has a form that says, here's our prisoner transfer. We're going to extradite the guy to California, fills out all the paperwork she does. And in Arkansas, the jail hands the guy over to the deputy from Ventura, California. And they extradite the guy to California. He's out of jail. He's on his way to California. Or so they think. 2 days later, a deputy from Ventura, California comes to the jail and says, I'm here to pick up Nicholas Lowe. And they go, well, this has got to be some sort of mistake. We sent Nicholas Lowe to California 2 days ago with the other deputy that came to transport him. They go, what deputy? Oh, you know, the one, the blonde-haired deputy, and she was here, had all the paperwork. They go, we don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, no.
Well, Nicholas Lowe has a girlfriend named Maxine Feldstein, who's 30 years old. She went into the jail, I guess in a full deputy getup somehow, from Ventura, California, somehow had the paperwork and everything, walked in, impersonated a deputy, did the release, pretended she was transporting him to California, but they got out of the jail and
wow,
they're out of here.
They do.
How crazy is that?
How would she know what to say? What the paperwork, you know, you have to give to them? How would you know all that?
I don't know.
The only way they think she would know that is she somehow has some kind of inside scoop on the operations or how they can do it. And first of all, how to get the deputy. And I'm surprised that the jail in Arkansas did not actually check to make sure that she's an actual deputy.
But would you? I don't think you would. Who has the balls to walk into a jail and pretend to be a deputy to get someone out of jail?
Right.
I don't think they've ever been like, let me do a background check on you when you do a jail transfer.
Right. You need some kind of form you have to sign, right? Oh, for this prisoner, let me sign it.
That's fine. Signing's fine.
I'll sign that
badge.
Form.
Yeah.
Like, see your name so I can write your name down and sign you in. There's got to be something. Protocol. Maybe she was a former worker and she knew exactly the steps to take.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe.
It doesn't say that in the article.
Wow.
The paperwork is the one that gets me. I could see her pulling.
Yeah, she had like a form that said, you know, extradition form kind of thing that she took in there. He must, or maybe he got it as the prisoner. Maybe his attorney has access to those forms or something, you know, like, hey, they want to extradite you to California. Let me, give me a copy of the form or
right.
Give a copy of the form to my girlfriend. And then she doctored it or something. I don't know. I mean, just the balls on that. And it worked. Isn't that great?
She had the confidence. She probably never broke character.
Yeah,
she just owned it and got him out.
They did catch him, though, a few days later. Yeah, a few days later. They're both in jail.
There's their mugshot.
Isn't that great? Here's their photos on RMG TV.
I can't believe it. How do you get caught after that?
I just Googled.
Oh, yeah, you got to get on the run after that.
Oh, Mexico.
I just Googled what do prisoner extradition papers look like, and there's a bunch of different images. So maybe they just researched it, and they put a different fake seal, and they just falsified everything, yeah.
All right, I've got to take a break. We will be right back on Rover's Morning Glory. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory. Your one-stop shop for news, pop culture, insanity, and poop. Lots and lots of poop.
bad of a politician do you have to be if this happens to you? This is a guy in Miami who's running for... What's he running for? Congress. Congress. He's running for Congress. His name is Bruno Barrero. He served in the Florida House of Representatives for 6 years. He was a Miami-Dade County Commissioner. Apparently, he's not a great politician. He's known for being stupid, as a matter of fact. But how bad of a politician does he have to be if the newspaper there, the Miami Herald, has endorsed his competitor in this race? Her name is Bettina Rodriguez Aguilera. You may think to yourself, all right, if the guy is stupid and the Miami Herald is endorsing this woman, that makes sense, right? The guy's such a bad politician.
It's
well,
simple.
In 2009, Bettina, she appeared on a Spanish language program called Extra Dimensional Experiences, in which she says she was abducted by aliens and zoomed around the universe. This is true.
Wait, they want that person?
That's right. So the Miami Herald has endorsed a candidate who still to this day maintains that she was abducted by aliens. How bad of a politician do you have to be that the newspaper endorses her over you?
Right, right.
Wow.
I wish that it wasn't Spanish language. I would play it for you. There is video of her on Extra Dimensional Experiences. She says she zoomed around the universe with three giant blonde aliens in a quartz-powered spaceship, you know, like crystals.
And they're blonde.
They're blonde. The aliens resembled the statue in Brazil, you know, Christ the Redeemer
statue,
that
statue.
Big
yeah.
Jesus statue that's up there on top of a mountain or whatever. She said that the aliens were sort of like that statue. She also said that there are 30,000 non-human skulls hidden in caves here somewhere on Earth. She says that the energy center of the world exists in Africa. She also says that a coral castle that is in Miami, which was built by an eccentric rich guy back like 100 years ago, says that that was actually built by aliens. Those claims were all made by her. How could you elect someone like that?
What did the other guy do that made him suck so bad?
I don't know. I mean, now I really want to know, as a matter of fact. I mean, how bad could you be that you were, that you're that bad of a politician? I mean, it, just in the article that I'm reading, it says, let me just read it to you, the first two paragraphs. From 1992 through 1998, Bruno Barrero, that's the man, served in the Florida House of Representatives. From 1998 until this year, he was a Miami-Dade County Commissioner. In that time, Barrero did such a remarkably poor job, was so universally reviled, and was so routinely ridiculed for being a dunce that the Miami Herald this weekend declined to endorse him in his race for Central Miami's open congressional seat. Instead, the Herald delivered him his saddest blow of his political career. Instead of endorsing him, they selected Bettina Rodriguez Aguilera, a candidate who stands by her claim that she was once abducted by aliens.
That's awesome. That's crazy, but it's awesome. So maybe she has great political views. You have to look. You always say a crazy girl
here's
is
what
good
the,
in bed.
Here's what the Miami Herald puts in their article when they endorse her. We realize that Rodriguez Aguilera is an unusual candidate. Last year, she told the Miami Herald and several Spanish language media outlets that she believes in extraterrestrials. She says when she was seven, she was taken aboard a spaceship, and throughout her life, she has communicated telepathically with the beings, which remind her of the concrete Christ the Redeemer statue in Brazil. This is a non-issue, she told the board. And the Miami Herald Board of Editors agrees. Her bona fides as a former elected official and now a businesswoman who spends time in other countries training women to run for office are solid. Could you imagine if they put like a program director here who believed that he was abducted by aliens? How would you take that person seriously?
Robert, I think that's pretty common. There's a lot of people out there that
I don't think
have been abducted.
Oh, get out of here. Stop it.
I believe in aliens.
I see it all the time, like on Jerry Springer. They have somebody come on, I was abducted.
Yeah, but those are hillbillies, okay? But those are idiots.
There's a lot of them in this country.
It's just, I don't know how you could take a candidate seriously who says that kind of stuff.
I mean, they swear by it. They're like, oh, I remember going up in the spaceship. They're poking at my skin, they doing all these tests.
They had a dream. It's sleep paralysis. That's what they had.
But what about when they have like a mark on their arm and they're like, oh, they took a piece of my skin and then they brought me back down to earth and then I had three cows in my yard were killed and slaughtered.
Do you actually believe that this woman could have been abducted by aliens?
I just hear the story a lot about people being abducted. And there's so many damn sightings, Rover, there's got to be something.
I agree. There's something out there.
There may be something out there. I believe in extraterrestrial life. I believe in alien life. I don't believe that aliens are visiting us and abducting us and taking... Why would they choose her, of all people, to take in a spaceship and fly around the universe?
It's just like a random pluck.
Okay.
Wasn't there an astronaut in the news? He said he saw UFOs?
No.
Back?
Nope.
I've never seen that. Who?
No.
No, I just saw an article.
I saw a headline.
Yeah, what was the headline?
Well, if you would have read the article, the headline.
I just saw the headline.
It says when he was up on a flight, they saw something and he thought it might have been an extraterrestrial. But it was actually ice crystals that were, I don't know,
moving,
if they were melting or whatever was happening.
I don't know.
And that was in paragraph 2 of the article.
Oh.
The headline, of course,
yeah,
is that he might have spotted extraterrestrials. But if you read the article, someone called in the other day and they were watching this TV show Alone. And they emailed about it.
They emailed
about this show Alone.
Some fans from Salt Lake City emailed in.
And this is on History Channel. They said, why don't you get this guy in? He's on the show Alone. He's from your area, Rover. In fact, he's from Nads' area, Manaway.
Kings of Manaway.
That's where Nads grew up. Kings of Manaway.
What was that?
What is that?
I don't know. I think we're probably the two most...
Hated people over there.
Famous people.
I agree with
famous
that.
Famous people from Manaway.
Nads.
Anyhow, this guy was his name is Britt. Is it Ahart? Is that how you pronounce his last name, Dougie?
Yeah.
He was a contestant on this Alone. That season just ended. And he is here. He's going to come in. He's going to talk to us here in just a minute. So let me take a break. We'll be right back on Rover's Morning Glory. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory. Why listen to anything else? This is Rover's Morning Glory.
All right, we're going to have this guy from the Alone TV show on in just a minute. Let me go to Brother ADX. You're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Brother ADX.
Good morning, guys. I just heard the story about the young lady said she was abducted. Yes. These are not aliens, so I'm very disappointed that you guys, you haven't taken heed to the last three interviews that I did on RMG when it comes to these wheels or these so-called UFOs.
Oh, the wheel in the sky? Right. Okay. Uh-huh. So break it down for me.
Again?
These are human angels. These are not aliens. These are very intelligent. People.
So you're telling me there are no aliens in the entire universe, Brother ADX?
Well, there is life on Mars. this is why they keep sending, you know, satellites to Mars, and they're trying to send some kind of little rover or two to Mars, and they're going to have, you know, they have a lot of satellites that are monitoring Mars, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that there is a civilization of black people on Mars. That
on Mars?
Very tall. Uh-huh. They're not, yeah, they are actually...
Like an NBA team, a bunch of tall black guys.
Yeah, they're like 8 to 12 feet tall, and they live to be approximately 1,200 years old.
I see.
They have been there because Mars actually was the moon of Earth at one time, before the deportation of the moon 66 trillion years ago by a black scientist, explosion scientist, named Jatu.
Deported the moon?
All of this is...
Wait a second. Hold on. So now Mars, which travels in an orbit around the sun, not around the Earth, but you're telling me it used to be in orbit around the Earth, and then somehow a black scientist made it orbit around the sun instead?
Okay, all of our planets have moons. This particular planet, Mars, is the closest planet to Earth. It was the moon of Earth at one time.
Uh-huh.
But because of the deportation of the moon, you can Google this.
Interesting.
Google deportation of the moon.
All right. Hey, brother ADX.
Dude, shut up. Just,
yeah, come on.
Why is she? Just shut up in there,
yeah,
Douche. Go on.
Hey, Douchey. No disrespect, but we're...
Dude, she's getting... because this guy's standing out there getting ready to come in. That's why she's like busting. She never busts in.
No.
Like, relax in there. Go on, brother ADX.
Yeah, this is like a classroom, and Doogie's interrupting class, and what you do to
it... It's only taking longer to get brother ADX off the phone when she breaks in like that.
Well, back to the subject at hand. The lady was abducted. Yes, it's possible, because these black scientists, black, brown, red, and yellow scientists, do experiments on human beings because of the biological warfare that's going against right now the human race with the CDC and FDA and all of the chemicals that they're putting in our food. So, and cows have been taken up on these wheels as well, because...
How do you think this guy gets through his everyday life, Dieter? I mean, honest to God, with these thoughts in his brain, how does one function...
These are actual facts.
Normal human being. I mean, going about your day-to-day business.
Yeah, when you wake up, these thoughts come in your head.
Right.
Eating cereal, having coffee, thoughts in your head.
I mean, when you actually believe this stuff, I don't know how you...
It's all documented. You can Google anything I say. Everything that I talk about is not an opinion. I have no time to sit here and give you my opinion on anything, Rover. It's only going to be actual facts. I don't come with theories, and I don't come with guessing.
What do you do for fun, man? I mean, is there any downtime?
You guys are guessing about the phenomenon called UFOs. You're guessing about what's being called aliens or extraterrestrials.
But he has the facts.
You don't have any facts.
It's written down by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and that makes it fact, right?
Yeah. Well, and once you understand the identity of that man, you would have a change of heart. He's the one who brought us the teachings of where
he an alien?
Come from. Excuse me?
Is he an alien?
No, he was not an alien, but I will call him as an actual angel or God in the person, because he brought 1,000% truth and an invincible truth that brothers like myself and Brother Minister Farrakhan and, of course, the soldiers in the Nation of Islam, we have the truth. All you have to do is just come to one of the brothers on Facebook. You can Google me, or you can Google one of the brothers, and we have all the answers.
Okay.
But, I mean, this is a classroom.
All right.
And if you're not going to listen, don't even waste my time. All right?
I hear you. All right. Brother ADX.
Who's wasting whose time here?
Thank you. All right. Thank you, Brother ADX. Google him, as he says. All right. Let's bring in Britt Ahart. He was on the show, two seasons of the show, Alone on History Channel. Someone just emailed me about this, and they said you should have this guy on because he's from your area, and he's participated in this show. And I go, I got to learn about this.
He might be stranded here, Rover.
What do you mean by that?
He forgot his car keys in the lobby already. He shows up.
And he forgot his car keys.
So what, you went out to the lobby and they go, hey, here's this guy's keys?
Yeah, this guy forgot his car keys. You know him? I go, yeah, he's on this TV show, survival show.
The most prepared guy in the world.
Yeah. Those are actually my spaceship keys so I can get back to the moon after
yes,
this.
Okay, good. Yeah, you are a tall black alien,
I am, apparently.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you?
So, all right, so someone emailed me. They said, this guy, I think you were on this last season, you got down to... I think when they emailed me, you were in the last two.
The last two, yeah.
All right. So, I didn't see the finale of this. Did you win the $500,000?
I did not win the $500,000.
What the hell's
wrong?
That's
a lot of money, man.
He's like, if I won that $500,000, you think I'd be sitting here right now with a guy named Rover? Of course not.
I probably would be. I'm really happy to be here. But listen, it's a lot harder than anybody thinks when it gets down to the final. We've been freezing forever. We've been gone across the other side of the world forever. So... about 56 days was where I had my limit.
56.
Right. So tell me exactly how this works for anyone who hasn't seen this show. And you've done it for two seasons.
Two seasons, yeah.
All right. So they take, how many contestants do they take?
10 contestants, yeah. And you have a select amount of survival items. And
they let you pick 10 items.
10 items.
So what do you pick? Did you pick the same both times?
I didn't pick the same both times. I switched it out just after what I learned from my first experience and the way it was going to be a different atmosphere, different climate, different... obstacles. So the second time I went, I took a couple different items, but you kind of keep the same core items, sleeping bag, fishing equipment, knife, ferro rod to start fires.
A what rod?
It's a ferro rod. Okay. Just you scrape and you get the sparks and it hits your tinder bundle. Yeah. Lights the fire.
I didn't know what that's called.
Yeah, ferro rods.
I'd last 2 seconds out in the wilderness. I don't even know what the hell that is.
Yeah, we're kind of crazy for doing it. I mean, probably anybody with the right training could do it, but the fact that we wanted to do it makes this all a little bit bizarre, I think.
Now, do you have any specialized training in survival?
No. I'm all self-taught. Okay. A little bit of YouTube, a lot of reading, a lot of practicing, making mistakes, and then, I'm kind of just an ad hoc survivalist. I go out there, I figure out something, I get it done if I need to.
I haven't seen it. I don't understand. Yeah. So you get dropped off, and you guys are separated from the other 9 people?
Yeah, we're separated by miles and miles. So we're all on our own in one location. The helicopter dropped us off. We have to film and document everything our own, so there's no camera equipment there. There's no safety equipment.
How do they know that you're doing what they want you to do if there's no camera crew? You're filming your own stuff?
We film everything on our own, yeah.
How do they know that you're doing it the right way?
We have periodic med checks about every week to 10 days. They come by and swap out all of our SD equipment, give us fresh batteries, give us a medical exam. Sometimes we have to do some quick psych evaluation to see what our frame of mind is. And then they review our cards and information to make sure that we're putting enough on video for them to, make a show out of. So if we don't film, there's no show.
Yeah.
But how does it, get down? Is it just who can outlast the other person?
It's a last man standing.
And so how do you
quit,
know?
You're out.
If you quit, you're out. Yeah, if you hit that emergency button, they come and get you, then you're done.
Do you know if the other people quit?
No, you don't know. You're just out there as long as you can, so you don't have anything really? To reference on how many people are out there. I mean, you might
hear a helicopter. So you were even down to the final two.
No, you don't know.
Is the other
because
guy...
now that you know that, you're like, I could have probably hung on for a while longer.
I mean, I think that now because I'm back home and I feel good and I've been eating and sleeping comfortably, but I know how I felt on day 56, and I was beaten down.
Does somebody tell the other guy that he won?
Well, he knows. Yeah, they come and get him after the second to last person's done.
And do they tell them right then you've won, or do they wait?
Yeah, the typical way they do it is they're coming out there for the regular med checks and evaluations, and like your significant other, whoever that you put on the list to come meet you when it's over.
They walk out of the woods or something, and they're like, you won!
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Oh, man. So you almost had $500,000.
I was really close.
Okay, so what made it day 56? Why did you have to quit? What was so unbearable?
It's kind of the straw that breaks the camel's back kind of thing, because the Mongolian winter was just really, really harsh. I mean, you're sleeping in a really cold shelter on your own. I spent, there were stretches where I'd be in my sleeping bag for just 22 hours just laying there because you have no energy.
Yeah.
You don't even have to go to the bathroom because you're not eating. It's weird. You go through all these physiological changes, and then you just start, kind of withdrawing totally into yourself and realizing, I might be doing some more psychological and physical harm than I want to be doing to myself. And you just kind of reach a breaking point, which everybody's going to have at some point.
You go in, though, probably with the best of intentions as far as being able to collect food and all of that. What happens, in day 50 or something?
Yeah, what do you eat?
See, I did a lot of fishing. There's a lot of foraging for wild edibles and plants and stuff. I mean, there's also a lot of firsts in what I ate out there. I ate my first mouse. Oh, man. I ate grasshoppers. I was eating, pulling the eggs right out of fish I was catching and eating them on the spot. But I mean, as temperatures change and food gets, you know, scarce or you know, more sparse, I mean, if you can't find anything to eat, then you're just kind of sitting there withering away, just watching the days tick by.
Did right. you learn what plants you can eat and not eat? Because aren't some poisonous? And-
yeah. We have a little bit of time before they actually launch us out there to like review the landscape, figure out what kind of grows there. You know, the flora and fauna of what's going to be in our area. So we have a little bit of time. Yeah, and we know what's poisonous and what's not poisonous. If there's a gray area, then it's kind of up to us if we want to chance it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you're out there for 56 days.
And think about that, Rover. Survivor is 39 days.
Yeah.
And they can't take it after 39. I mean, they're skin and bones.
And they have contact with other human beings.
Right. That helping them. Too, He's right. by himself.
Yeah. Do you keep track of the days? Did you know it was day 56 or whatever it was? You're keeping track of all of this.
Yeah, I kept a calendar, kept, you know, notch and stuff.
Was that longer than you thought you would be able to last? Or how long did you last in the first season?
35 days in the first season.
And then did you look back at that and go, I could have done something better or I could have?
I don't know what I could have done better. It was my frame of mind the first time because the first time I went, you know, my wife and I didn't know what was going on. It was all brand new to us, and all of a sudden, I'm whisked away to the other side of the world, and it was all a scary, like, brand new experience. So this second time around, like, we were more on the same page. I was more, like, in-tuned and, like, physically ready to starve, you know, mentally ready to be alone. And so it was a lot different the second time. So I don't know what I could have done different the first time because it was totally unknown.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go back and
why know, did they bring you back for a second season?
This was kind of like a fan favorite, what they called redemption season. So, I mean, I guess people enjoyed watching me on TV for whatever reason or another, and they wanted to bring us back for a second shot.
What do you do normally? What's your job?
I was previously working in accounting for FedEx, and now I'm driving a school bus for my son's school system.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they were okay with you going on the show? They don't have a problem giving you time off and all that?
They were okay the first time. The second time, it was kind of like shaky, but when I came back, I just didn't want to go sit in a cube again. Yeah. I've been doing that for over 20 years, and I just figured, you know, at this point in my life, you know, we're able to do this. I don't want to sit and stare at a computer if I don't have to. Let's just branch out and do something that's interesting to me and allows me to spend a lot of time with my son.
Yeah. So if I were to just take you into the woods right now, you don't have the 10 items, you don't have anything. How long do you think you could live just out in the woods if I just dropped you there right now?
I probably survive a substantial amount of time. I mean, I could build a shelter from nothing. I could eat wild edibles. I can dig up and eat the nastiest stuff if you just have to live. But, I mean, having, like, just a few things, like a little bit of paracord and a knife can really take you for a long time.
Did you is that how you researched it, just on YouTube, to figure out how to – and reading, just to figure out how to survive for that period of time?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it was trial and error because I made a lot of mistakes out there because things I'd never tried and didn't know anything about. But a lot of it was just like watching other people, researching stuff, reading. And yeah, because like I said, I have no formal training. Boy Scouts was about the end of it.
The guy who won, I assume it's a guy. Are there girls on the show as
well? There are, yeah.
The guy who won, you go back afterwards and you watch this guy, I'm sure. What did he do that was, how did he beat you?
I would say he was a lot heavier. And I'm not trying to take away from his skill set, but he went in there with a lot more fat to burn. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so when they called me to go, I was still slim from my season 3. So I was under the pressure to eat and eat and eat to try and gain weight because I knew it was going to be a starving game at some point. So I was having, you know, ice cream for breakfast and donuts as I'm falling asleep and just the worst possible diet. So I put on 25 pounds before I went out there. And then when I saw him in Mongolia, the first thing I said was, oh, damn, he's really fat. and it was the guy I was looking at as the fattest guy. And I was like, you know, he's going to be an issue. And I kept looking at him. And I'm like, man, oh, man. So I hope he breaks and goes home mentally because physically he's going to be able to sit there.
So it's really, I would think, like, maybe the guy was a former Navy SEAL or something like that. It's really about how fat you are, or one of the factors is how fat you are when you go into it.
That can weigh into it. It's also how much food you're able to acquire, how much you can tolerate in terms of getting beaten down by the elements. I mean, we had wolves and bear and badgers and pit vipers all around us. So you have to be able to not be scared by the elements, you know, because I've never been in a place where I hear, you know, moose and boar running right outside of my door while I'm trying to sleep. So it's also how much you can take on a psychological level. So, I mean,
make sure like a bear doesn't eat you or something?
We have a lot of training beforehand. We have bear spray and an air horn. But if I get mauled in the middle of the day, then they wouldn't know until I don't check in the evening. Oh, we have to check in to let them know that we've woken up and that we've gone to sleep that night.
Okay.
So anytime between that 12-hour period, we could be dead.
Wow.
And they won't know until we don't respond.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dieter, you think you would be able to handle a game like that?
Not for 56 days. I mean, I watch a lot of Survivor, man. But it's like watching it looks so easy on TV. Then you go out there. I think the first night, we went camping a couple weeks ago. That first night in the tent, I go, get me the hell out of here. This sucks. Sleeping on the floor. It's hot as hell. There's bugs. I don't know. What'd you do for water? Was there fresh water? Did you have to boil water?
We had to boil everything that we drank. So we had a river. So every time we want something to drink, you have to go get the firewood. You have to build the fire. You have to go get the water. You have to boil the water. And then you have to let the water cool down before you can drink it. So if you're thirsty, you get to have a drink in about an hour.
Oh, man.
Unless you have your water already prepared. So there's just, everything is just a toil.
Here's a guy who says, I'm married with two kids. I'd pay to be alone for 50
years. Yes.
So you're married. Do you have any kids?
Yeah. Yeah, I have three kids, 21, 17, and 8.
Was it hard to be away from them? Did that factor into it?
That absolutely factors into it. The first time was really difficult because I'd never had any separation more than a couple of days. But the second time, you know, I tried to mentally get myself ready and have a whole lot of conversations and let them know this is happening again. But still towards the end, I mean, you start longing because we're social creatures. And after a while, that's what drove me back every time. I could starve and freeze forever, but it's that social interaction and the family around me that I was really needing.
What would you have done with the $500,000 if you won that?
I really wanted to give my parents some money. I really wanted to pay off our house and take my wife on a great vacation and then put a bunch of money away. Like I didn't try and make extensive plans about it. It's like when you buy that lottery ticket and you're like, oh man, as soon as I get those numbers, I'm doing this and this and this. So I tried to keep that in the back of my mind with just like a couple of positive things that if I made it to the end, we'd do.
Right.
Do they still pay you? Like, do you still get some money for being on the TV show, even though you don't win?
Yeah. Yeah, we all get paid. I mean, it's revenue-driven. We're driving the revenue of the show, so we all get paid.
But is it a decent, or is it just a little bit? Is it, like, how much? Let's just be honest. How much are they paying you
for a decent amount. It's a decent amount that we were able to still take care of some of the things I wanted to do.
Over or under 50 grand?
It's a good amount.
It's over, Rover.
Wow, over 50 grand?
That's not what I was saying.
You stay out, the more money you get?
Yeah, you're paid weekly.
Oh man.
So there is some motivation in a way to I mean, look, you
that
want
that drives you then.
Yeah, but you're really driven by the $500,000.
No, I know.
I mean, you want that $500,000. True. How long do you think you would be able to last, Dieter? If I said $500,000 is on the line, do you think you could beat Britt living out in the wilderness?
Were you kidding me?
I'm
He's done
asking.
This twice.
It's $500,000.
But the thing that kills me is you don't know. You don't know, like, when he gave up, was he like, there's 8 people left. I might as well give up. He had no idea it was only one person to beat. If I knew, like, oh, people are dropping out like flies.
Right. But that's what adds to the game.
That would kill me.
It's the not knowing. There's a whole lot of uncertainty. So you're just sitting out there and you're trying to, you know, figure out scenarios. You're hoping. You see a drone going overhead. You're like, maybe that drone is filming somebody leaving.
Yeah.
So all this stuff is going on in your head. So just the not knowing, and you're just watching the days tick by and you're like, I can't take it. It's 56. Then you find out you were second person.
How far can you walk each day?
They give you an area, like when they drop you off on the helicopter, they say, you know, you can go over that mountain, you can go to the edge of that mountain, you can go way up the river this way. So I would say we probably have about maybe 60 acres. It's hard to guess.
Okay, so you couldn't just, like, your technique couldn't be just walk into town.
No, no. We're just like, we're so far out in a remote area. I mean,
I just sit around and wait that far.
I mean, Mongolia is desolate enough, but just landing in the city.
I don't even know where Mongolia is. Is that China or something?
Underneath Russia.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
So there's nothing around.
There's nothing around except you and the animals.
And Charlie, how long do you think you would be able to last out there? Because I think in the past you've said you think you would be able to survive out in the wilderness
for a little bit. Yeah, I watch a lot of those, a lot of that stuff. I like nature a lot, so I think I'd do maybe a week. It'd be tough being alone. I think the worst part would be not being able to interact or communicate with anybody. I really think that would be one of the hardest
parts.
See,
I don't. That would be the easiest part. No. You're a social person, mentally, Charlie. You can't be alone. You always like to be around people.
Yeah.
I'm the opposite.
I'm a people person. People like being around me. Yes.
I would find that now, being able to survive the cold and
those parts.
And all
oh,
that,
and you can't rough. Eat? That's what's the worst part for me. It's not eating constantly.
What'd your wife right. do when you got back? Was she like, "Oh, you son of a bitch! You should have held on longer."
No, she knew how this show breaks people.
Yeah.
So the first time we came back, there was a lot of us trying to reacclimate ourselves because I came home, you know, thin and kind of like scatterbrained and with a different mindset, different outlooks, different perspectives, and she didn't understand either. So we had lots of up and downs trying to get back to the symmetry of our relationship. So this time I came back and she had actually taken off time from work to kind of like, you know, help me through the process because mm-hmm. it really kind of shakes people. A lot of people have issues when they come back. I mean, a lot of relationships end up dissolving.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's wow. it's really, it takes a toll on people.
Do you think you were still changed?
I mean, I have a much more appreciative outlook on things that I have. I definitely view my family different and realize how much I needed them. When they're gone and you come back and they're there. So I don't take things like that for granted anymore.
So when people are bitching and moaning that, oh, my cable was out for 2 hours last
right.
night, you're like, big
cable.
Deal, pussy.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's ridiculous. Or if my wife is, or if my son's like, can you fix dinner, Mom? I'm starving. I'm like, starving? You have no idea what starving is like.
It's almost like to be one of his kids would be terrible. You just hear that all the time, you know?
Before you tap out, how long do you think about before you hit it? Like, is it a couple days or is it like just out of nowhere you just go, I'm out?
It's probably different for everybody, but for me, I'm like the eternal optimist. So I tried to hold on as long as I could until I just reached that point where I'm like, I can't go back in my shelter again. It's just too cold. I'm too lonely. As soon as I got to that cliff, it was like a day. And it was almost probably the middle of that night because you stop sleeping. You can't sleep. Your body gets on this weird schedule. I couldn't sleep. And you got mice running all around your head and stuff. And
someone asked me, they sent a text message. They said, was he cranking it out in the middle of nowhere?
Oh, I was just going to ask that.
Guy has urges, but it almost sounds like it was so miserable that you wouldn't even crank it out.
You don't even think about that, and it's so cold. It's probably not even working at that point.
What is the temperature? I mean, what is it approximately?
It was negative 40, I think, at the coldest.
What?
Oh, get out of here.
Like, there's icicles growing around your head in your shelter. You know, I had a little urinal that I was peeing in, and like you look over a couple hours later, it's a solid block of
ice.
Frozen. Like, it's frozen.
So when you start the season, is it that cold, or does it get colder as the season progresses?
It gets colder. They drop us off like kind of on the onset of winter, just so we have a chance to try and get prepared. They don't drop us off right in winter, but every season goes through winter because that poses more challenges for everybody. In terms of like food, shelter, water, everything is harder.
So you look
winter.
At like Survivor, where it's a tropical island, and you go, piece of cake.
Right, right. Plus they're with other people, and somebody else is filming for them.
Yeah,
that's really hard, and that's understated. Just us having to maintain all the camera equipment, the stationary shots, the GoPros, the pocket cameras. Like any shot you see, if you see somebody walking from 100 yards, it's because we walked way out there, put that camera, came back. Walked in front of the camera and then went back out there and got it just for the, you know, the cinematography aspect, just to make it pretty.
Some people are probably better at that than others, I would assume. Like
I think so.
On the show. So
yeah.
When you go back and you watch it after the fact, are you critiquing your own performance as a cameraman?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'll be like, oh man, I remember doing that. That came out just like I thought it would.
Yeah.
Or that's kind of boring because it's just me sitting there forever. But, you know, some of it, it just is what it is. You get really, you know, stationary, and I probably had, I don't know, 1,000 hours of me just sitting here like this, carving something and not even talking.
Yeah.
You just keep the camera rolling all the time.
So you never saw anyone else? Like, you don't come in contact with any of the other contestants?
No.
You never saw another person other than when they come in and they do those medical checks? What's involved in that? Like, what are they doing to you?
They come in, first off, they make you strip all the way down to your underwear so they can weigh you.
But it's cold.
They have to keep, your... monitoring your weight from when you first launch to right where you are, so they know if for safety precautions they have to extract you.
Yeah.
So they strip you down and weigh you. They take all your vitals. You know, they take your heart rate and your blood pressure. They ask you what you've been doing, what are you planning on doing, how are you feeling. You know, so they just kind of get an idea of what your mental frame of mind is.
Yeah.
But it's not too intricate. I mean, they're not drawing blood or stuff like that. They're just getting a quick overview, checking your BMI.
They don't tell you anything like, hey, since we were here last week, here's what Donald Trump did. They didn't tell you anything.
They tell you nothing. And I tried to ask, like when I was in Patagonia, I tried to ask, you know, because the Cavs were in the playoffs. I'm like, how are the Cavs doing? They're like, nope. They won't give you any taste of what's going on at home. So they tell you nothing. They won't tell you the temperature. So yeah, it's all really tight-lipped. They won't. They don't want to make it a social visit.
Now, do you think that you've been in two seasons of this? Is there any possibility they'd ever have you back for another one ever again? Do you think, or are they just they move on to other people?
I don't know what their plans are. I would imagine at this point they'd move on. But if they want me to come out there, I'd do it again.
And all the kids you drive this bus for, they think you're. They watch the show. They like it?
They're just finding out because they didn't really know when I was driving the bus because it was in between seasons.
Yeah.
But now they're going to know when I go back this year.
How old are these kids on this bus that you're driving?
They're from kindergarten to high school.
Okay. Is that like, is it an okay job? Because I remember, oh man, as a kid I was on the bus, Dieter.
Oh, yeah,
I don't know how it is now because they have cameras. You have a camera on your bus?
Some of them do, yeah.
Yeah, there's no cameras.
That means
back
nobody
then.
Tells the kids that we have a camera. You know, yeah. That's probably what that means. there was no camera. It was.
Is there a war zone?
A free for all.
Yeah, it was
Dieter.
Like prison walking.
It was. Kids are. There are fights happening on the bus. There's hair pulling. There's food fights. There's flipping off cars behind you.
Yeah, we should throw stuff at the bus driver, like rosary, beads.
All the time.
Just throw them at
all
him.
All the time.
I can't believe it.
I don't know.
How dangerous.
Is it still like that these days?
Really that crazy. The little kids are a little bit rambunctious, but I found if you put the bus in park, you stand up and you walk down the aisle, and they realize that you're like 4 feet taller than them, then they all kind of get quiet. The high schoolers, they just want to get to school, and they just want to get home, so they're kind of chill.
Yes, Jeffrey, you're hovering. What is it?
Yeah, I remember riding a school bus as a kid, too. And then I remember, because I was bused to the east side, I remember having kids on the outside actually throwing stuff at the bus. We had to scooch down in case one of those things happened to break the window. So I know what that's like.
I thought Jeffrey was going to start telling Britt his story. I was bused to the east side.
That's what I was thinking.
Britt
no,
is a
but
black
I remember
guy,
the
rambunctious. Just waiting for Jeffrey to tell. This is when schools were desegregated, and I was bused to the east side.
I was the only white kid in the school.
I was the only white kid there. Britt Ahart is here. He was on two seasons of the show Alone, which is on the History Channel. The season 5 reunion, that aired last night.
Yeah, that was last night.
And what do? They get everyone together, and you reminisce about what you did in season 5?
Yeah, they brought 5 of us back out of the 10, and just to get a little bit more in our story, ask us questions, see how we've bounced back from the experience.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
So what do you foresee in the future? Are you done with reality shows and entertainment? Are you just back to your normal life now, or what do you see in the future?
Well, I'm doing speaks about my experience, so I'll be appearing at one of our local libraries shortly. But I really just I enjoy going out and talking about it. I like talking to kids. I like answering a lot of the questions about, you know, how I felt, what I went through, and like what happened behind the scenes. So I'm trying to orchestrate some of those things to happen. I've been driving a school bus, like I said, and I've been spending a lot of time with the family. We spent the whole summer together, which was fantastic, and we've been, you know, just doing regular Family Guy stuff, working on the house. But in terms of TV work, if somebody wants me on TV, I'd love to do it again. I really like to do some voiceover stuff, and I've been trying to get together with the History Channel to, like, do some behind-the-scenes, you know, speak in the microphone, commentate, maybe narrate a TV show.
Mm-hmm. Have you thought about doing, like, a YouTube channel? Because you already have a built-in audience. You could do survival tips, stuff like that.
I thought a little bit about that. I was actually talking to one of my friends about that and maybe getting myself a little drone, a little stationary camera, and just doing some stuff. But I'm not, like, the prototypical bushcrafter. I'm just kind of like a survivor when I need to be a survivor.
Is that what they call it, a bushcrafter? Is that
bushcrafting, yeah. Bushcraft survival skills. Just being able to go out into the bush and you know, find something that's natural to the area and create it and mold it to your purposes.
Nads, how long would you last out there?
Well, it depends on what I could bring with me. If it was...
drugs?
That's what I'm saying. If I had a fire
starter... the whole time staring at the sky.
But then if we're talking Xannies, we're talking Perks, we're talking Oxys, I could be out there
forever.
Months. I'm talking months years.
My overdose.
Who needs food when he has Xanax? Charlie, how long do you think you would last?
I said like a week, probably, I think. But also, if I have to catch my own food like he did... That might, I might shrink down to like 2 days.
I'm thinking I realistically.
Yeah, what could you do, Rover? You hate the cold.
Hate it.
Building shelter, physical activity.
Like my home, I keep, I just took a photo a couple weeks ago of the thermostat in my house because, and I sent it to someone because they don't believe it. I haven't had the air conditioning on at all this year. It was 80, like 2 weeks ago, it was 84 degrees inside my house. I like it hot like that. I think realistically, now, if you're survival dependent on it, you know, like I just read a story about this car crash and they went down in a ditch. The mother was killed,
yeah,
and there were two kids who were like 1 and 3 or something,
yeah.
And they survived. It was like 5, 6, 7 days or something.
Was it
I think.
That long?
It was a while.
But they don't have a get out button.
That's like, what I'm saying.
Knowing that you have
if
that
you're
button,
survival dependent on it, it's a little bit different. But I think that if it were a choice, 3 or 4 days probably is what I think I could probably realistically
do. We'd have to catch our own food. You have to, you know.
No, I would just go hungry. Like I think I could go. I can go a day or two without eating at all, and then like
try 56 days, Robert.
That's what I'm saying. 56. I can't do that. I'm saying 3 or 4. I think I could realistically do.
What no do you way. Think we could do, Brett? Go, just look around the room. Look at us.
Let's see. Probably a couple of days, mm-hmm. if you're not too scared of the bears, because they're always around too. You had a lot of weight to burn, so even if you didn't have to,
he's pointing
I mean,
at
and,
Dieter now.
Yeah. And you'd probably be pretty scrappy if something came running up on you. So I'd say maybe a week.
Oh man, I can't go 3 hours without eating or drinking water. That's what would kill me is getting the water and boiling it over and over.
Yeah, Dieter, bro, lift your water up. This yeah. is he drinks. How many of those
that was
a day?
Just this oh, morning. Wow.
That's so, just this morning is the amount of water.
Yeah, in the past 3 hours.
Yeah, that
so
one,
I try to go 2.5 gallons
a
day. That's
not happening out there in the wilderness.
But, you know, you get a resolve that you can't have it. So you just start getting used to being hungry and used to being thirsty. And so it just brings your level of activity really low. But, I mean, like, I know what it feels like to starve, and I can do it for a long time. So after you, like, you feel that coming over, you're like, okay, I'm just going to be hungry for the next month. I'm eating very, very little, but I'm always going to want food and then you just start thinking about food, and it's just a constant thought. So that's yeah. hard, too.
Is there anything they say, like, you're allowed to bring 10 items.
Yep.
Is there anything that's prohibited? Like, they say, absolutely not, you can't
oh, yeah.
bring that.
There's a long – I mean, the list is long of what you can't bring. Like, so you can't bring a lighter. You have to make, you know, either a Bodril fire or a ferro rod fire.
No matches.
No matches. You can't bring a fishing rod. You got to make a fishing rod, but you can take, you know, a fishing line.
Yeah.
So – I mean, they make it so you have to be as primitive as possible.
Right. What about a penthouse?
What about a penthouse?
Yeah,
magazine?
No. Yeah, the J.O.
Oh.
Oh, I see. I don't think he said he's too cold for that.
Listen, that's so far out of your mind frame when you're
saying,
freezing your butt off.
Yeah,
but you can't, no reading material. No, you can't even bring anything to read.
Really?
What was your first meal you had when you got out?
My first meal I had, because they bring you something right to the spot, was a cup of vegetable soup, and it was probably one of the most amazing meals I ever had. Just because you have salt again.
Yeah.
You have no salt in your food, so that was fantastic. And then, you know, your body's so wrecked, so they have to put you on a regimen to kind of, like, get you back up to where you can tolerate normal food.
Because you can't eat if you're out in the wilderness or you're rescued, you've been mm-hmm. trapped at sea or whatever, lost at sea, you can't just immediately eat a meal mm-mm. or drink because that will actually kill you.
Yeah, I heard that.
If I don't know how, it doesn't
like
even
shock
make sense.
System.
Right. But like I've heard like a starving baby in Africa or whatever, like, and you can't just start feeding them food. It will kill them. It's like a shock to the system.
So. I got really, really ill because I couldn't stop myself from eating when I was done. Yeah.
So you got the squirts. You just basically diarrhea as well.
I threw up so much I was shooting pasta out of my nose.
Oh man!
That's not because I just couldn't stop.
That's
couldn't
a good question.
Stop.
When you take a dump, do they give you toilet paper? What do you use for that?
Toilet paper? No.
I mean, could you bring that if you wanted to?
No, you better find some moss.
Oh.
You got to find you got to find some moss, and there was no moss here, so you know I had to sacrifice one of my wool socks.
Oh my god! How many times can you use that? Just over and over, and you wash
it. If you use it, you wash it. You have no soap. So you go to the river and you scrub it. So you just basically have a foot that smells like crap all the time.
Wait, you don't have extra socks? It's the sock you have to wear?
You do, but I mean, at one point you're wearing every pair of sock you have because you're freezing your butt off. So
Oh, my God. Yeah.
But wow. You know what? You don't go to the bathroom that much either because you're not eating that much.
Yeah. Wow.
It took me, before I went to the bathroom the first time, it was 22 days. And I was like, I was getting
22
nervous.
22 days before you took a dump?
22 what? Days. So by like day 14, I'm like, all right, you know, By day like 20, I'm like, oh, something's really, really, really wrong. So then by day 22, I'm like, uh-oh, you go running into the woods.
Yeah, oh, my God.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, your body is trying to hold on to every bit of nutrients that you're eating, so it just doesn't function as normally as it would if you have your regular everyday diet.
Did you have a place where you go and poop? Like, was there did you dig out a little hole and this is my poop place?
Well, yeah, I mean, you have plenty of places, so you just dig a little portion and then you put the dirt back over it and maybe put a rock there so you know not to step on it.
Let me go to Mike quickly and then we got to get out of here and we'll let Britt go. Britt Ahart from Alone, the TV show, season 3 and season 5 here with us. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, Roger, how you doing?
Hey, what's happening,
hey,
Spike?
The city where the show is based and loves you.
Yeah.
I've got a question regarding the Bears. Was he taught to hold his arm in an up and down fashion so the bear can't turn his head and attack him?
Interesting. This is very interesting. Now, Dieter has a theory. Will he explain your theory on bear attacks to Brick quickly?
You know, if a bear's going to attack you, he always bites downwards. If you put your arm like this, the bear's going to latch on. So I heard one time, if you put your arm like this in front of you, the bear can't bite you because it won't turn its head to bite. So that's one way to defend
yourself.
Did
they give that to you
as
survival training?
They didn't tell us anything of the sort because I'm pretty sure a bear would just swat my forearm out of the way and go for the jugular anyway.
Well, yeah, it's not the swatting. It's the biting. It's not swatting by doing this. But
it won't stop the swatting.
Well,
so
yeah, that you got to hold the bear's arms down.
Oh, okay.
He won't bite you
with your other two arms.
Right.
All right. Perfect. All right. Britt Ahart, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
I've got to take. Do you have a Facebook website? How do people, if they want to see you? What do you?
They can find me on Facebook just by searching my name, Britt Ahart, and I'm accepting requests because I'm also talking about my upcoming appearances and just sharing information about the show. So they can just search me on there, and I'm also on Twitter at Britt Ahart. Britt is alone.
Britt is alone. B R I T T.
Yes, it is.
Which is that's a weird name for a guy. No offense, but that's like
that's
when
right.
when someone hears Britt, they go. That's Brittany, right? Short for Brittany.
The History Channel even put me up there as her one time.
Oh, did they?
Because, yeah, I was like, come on, guys. But, yeah, so my middle name is actually Britton, and it's a family name.
Gotcha. All right. I've got to take a break. We'll be right back on Rover's Morning Glory. Hang out.
Rover's Morning Glory. Entertainment icons have a great catchphrase. Homer Simpson's.
Go!
Steve Urkel's.
Can I do that?
And Anthony Snitzer's. Back to Rover's Morning Glory.
All right, someone emailed me and they said, please, 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 Rover, will you get to... the other day you told a story about how saying vagina is not politically correct anymore? That's a medical term, right? Vagina?
Of course it is. Vagina and penis.
Dieter?
How's it not?
Can't say that anymore.
What's the word? Searching the P word now?
Nope, not the P word, but we have to be more considerate of the fact that some trans people don't identify with the regular labels of genitalia. Therefore, there is a new word for vagina that they would like you to use. I'm not making this up. This is absolutely true.
I thought I heard every word for the vag.
Oh, this is a good
one.
So
far. This is a new one?
This is a new one, right. Now, remember, if you want to be as inclusive as possible, you don't want to exclude anyone. You want everyone to feel like they're special and that they're accepted. Therefore, you have to use the phrase front hole.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
I'm not kidding you.
Front hole?
That's right. Healthline has, this is a out in California, it's a website, it's a health information provider. They have adopted the gender-inclusive term front hole instead of vagina, as they explain in a document regarding safe sex. They write, for the purpose of this guide, we'll refer to the vagina as the front hole instead of using the medical term vagina. This is gender-inclusive language that's considerate of the fact that some trans people don't identify with the labels the medical community attaches to their genitals. For example, some trans and non-binary identified people assigned female at birth may enjoy being the receptors of penetrative sex, but experience gender dysphoria when that part of their body is referred to using a word that society and professional communities often associate with femaleness. An alternative that's becoming increasingly popular, they write, in trans and queer communities is front hole.
That doesn't sound
right
appealing
or hot.
Yeah, like, hey, I want to
show me your front hole.
What I would do to that.
Pop that front hole.
Oh. I mean, my God.
That sounds dirtier.
Does it? Sounds gross.
Yeah. It does. It does. Yes, Jeffrey, you're offering.
And then you? Next thing you know, they're going to be calling the sphincter the rear hole.
That
the
is. Butthole. That's your back hole.
Back hole, front hole. Back hole, front hole.
Front
I mean,
hole, back hole.
I mean, this, we're just down a very bad slippery slope of political correctness.
Now, this guide then continues on. They they say that it's imperative for safe sex guides to become more inclusive of LGBTQIA and non-binary people and their experiences. I don't know what the IA is. How many letters are we going to get up to?
What is it?
You tell me.
Oh, boy.
LGBTQ, it used to be LGBT, which was lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender, I think.
Where's that plus?
Huh?
They had a plus on the end, at the end?
Well, then came.
Then it became LGBTQ, which is lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer.
Or questioning.
Oh, I thought it was queer.
Well, it used to be. Then they changed it to questioning.
Because queer is offensive.
Because queer, I thought, no.
For you to use, yeah.
Queer eye for the straight guy?
I know.
If it's that offensive, why would they have a TV show?
I don't like that word.
Name that.
I think it is offensive if we're thrown around saying something.
It's like the N-word. Like, yeah. You can be black and use the N-word. You can be
so Charlie
gay
can use queer.
Use queer.
Yes.
Right.
That's why I'm allowed to say it.
Remember playing Smear the Queer when you were a kid?
All the time. Charlie was getting smeared so hard.
So now it stands for questioning?
Questioning.
Huh.
You want to keep going? I have the answers.
Okay. So then we got to LGBTQI. What does that stand for?
Indecisive?
Let me think about this for just a second. Matt, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Matt.
Rover, yo.
Yo, what's happening?
Dieter, yo.
Yo!
Hey, so you were talking about this new word, and
front
basically, me and my work buddy were sitting here and we're thinking, don't guys have a front hole on the tip of their
Guys do have front holes, so maybe that's the point though. Maybe they want like everyone has a front hole, so everyone is all the same. Maybe that's what they're going for. Maybe they know that. I don't know.
I was reading it had something to do with making transgenders feel out because they want to be able to eventually get a vagina. But some women that are born with a vagina, you don't want to call them that. That's called a front hole.
Front hole. All right. So let me think about the LGBTQIA. What is I and A? I'm going to have to think about that.
And there was a plus on there. You don't remember the plus?
Well, maybe the plus comes after the A now. If you are listening to us on a station that only carries the show until 10 a.m., you can continue listening or watching live at roverradio.com. I got behind today. We're not playing more commercials. We're not playing more commercials. We're just getting them all in. Or you can watch on RMGTV at roverradio.com or with the Rover Radio app. We'll come back. We'll do our last shizzy of the morning. We'll figure out what the I and the A are right after this. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
See? Not all these guys are sinners.
Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray to Lord my soul to keep.
Well, actually.
Please prevent me from killing anybody on Rover's Morning Glory because they piss me off so much.
Now back to the show.
All right, I was just doing a story about how Healthline has said that they are going, don't use the word vagina, that's not inclusive enough. Use the term front hole, which does sound, Snitz is right, that sounds dirtier, front hole. But they talked about this. They wrote, let me see here, let me see if I can find it. They wrote, for the purpose of this guide, we'll refer to the vagina as the front hole instead of using the medical term vagina. This is gender-inclusive language that's considerate of the fact that some trans people don't identify with the labels the medical community attaches to their genitals. And they go on to talk about LGBTQIA. And I was trying to figure out what does the I and the A stand for. I'm just getting clarification on the Q. I swear I thought it was queer. You're telling me it's questioning.
Well, it used to be queer. And
but wouldn't that sort of be like covered by the L and the G in the LGBT?
I don't know.
What's the difference between the... this is a serious question. What's the difference between the Q and the L and the G?
Well, if it's questioning, there would be a difference.
That I understand. But if it's queer, what would be the difference between that and the and lesbian or gay? Am I missing something?
I don't think you are, because according to Wikipedia, it's an umbrella term, queer is, for sexual and gender minorities who are not heterosexual or cisgender.
Okay, so that... Well, okay.
That would be all-encompassing.
I don't know. What's cisgender? That's you and me, right?
I think that's
straight people?
Yes.
Okay. So... that seems like that would, like the Q, if it started as queer, that seems like that would be redundant of the L and the G.
It could just all be queer.
Okay, so, right, why not just have Q?
But then it's a derogatory name, apparently. So they, it's a controversial word given its past derogatory use, so they've changed it to questioning.
So it was queer.
Yes.
The LGBTQ.
Yep.
And then people say, well, wait a second, hold on. This would be like the NAACP becoming the NAN, the National Association of N Words.
Oh, like,
God, that's so bad.
Whoa.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's an offensive term, right? And that's what the LGBTQ community said, well, wait a second. Or someone said, wait a second. Isn't that an offensive term? I don't think we could be known as that. Right?
Yeah. That's right, yeah. Okay, so they changed it to questioning.
Questioning, okay.
Yikes.
But not Healthline, it's LGBTQIA and non-binary people. So you almost need an LGBTQIANP for non-binary people, or NBP for non-binary people.
There's a whole alphabet in there now.
LGBTQIANBP.
Well, there is elemental. The other... initialism, LGBTTQQIAAP.
Come on.
Not joking.
Just do the whole alphabet.
How do you even, like, when you're writing a document, do you just have that as a macro or something? I'd be having to type that every single time. That seems, is that autocorrect? Okay. So LGBTQIA, what, we figured out that Q no longer means queer, it stands for questioning. What does I and A stand for? Dieter, you didn't look this up, did you?
No.
Okay. I'm going to take a guess. What could I stand for?
Indecisive.
Individual.
I'm going to say, and I'm just making this up, could intersex be a word?
Yeah,
I don't even know what that means, but it seems like that could be something. It's the only thing I could think of that would start with I, and I don't even know what that means.
Hepatite. There's no H, is there?
It's correct. It is intersex.
Intersex.
Yes, and that is the Intersex people are born with some biological characteristics that are considered female and others that are considered male.
What is that called, Jeffrey?
What are you born a hephrodite or something?
Is that all right? A hephrodite.
Hephrodite.
As Jeffrey says.
What's a hephrodite?
Explain it.
It's just simply a person that has the equipment for both a man and a woman.
And that's okay. Called intersex or what else?
Hephrodite.
Yeah.
Got
if
it.
If I'm even pronouncing the term correctly, but that's
say it again.
Hephrodite.
Yeah.
Hephrodite. There you go.
Okay. So that I was right about that. The I. Now what is what's the last A? LGBTQI, got all of that, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, questioning, intersex, and A.
It's got to be asexual.
Ooh, that's not bad.
It's got to be it.
I think he's right.
And what is that? Like, you just have no attraction or desire at all?
That's... Yeah, that comedian was in before, Fortune. Mm-hmm. She said she was asexual growing up. She's like, I just had no attraction to anybody. Or just no...
I'm going to say you're right. That's got to be it. Is that what the A is?
Ned?
It's either asexual or allied. So either you're a friend of the LGBTQIA...
Oh, this is getting ridiculous.
...or asexual. And that's what... Now,
who determines... Who adds this letter, by the way? Like, how could there be a question about what the last letter means? Doesn't someone say this is what it is and this is what it means? I mean, how could you have a... Well, it could mean asexual or allied.
That is a little extreme.
I mean... Aaron in Virginia, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Aaron.
Yo, Rover, what's up?
Yo, what's happening, my man?
Man, I just got to say, I'm part of the LGBT community. I'm bi, but this whole ever adding a letter every day of the freaking week is a bunch of bullcrap, man. I get confused trying to figure out how many more letters we're freaking adding.
So you like both the front hole and the tiny front hole is what you're telling me. He likes them both.
Yes, Rover, yes.
Yes. Well, I think that is the politically correct way to put it now, the front hole. And if you're going to have a front hole... You also have a teeny front. Like, I have a tiny front hole, Dieter. So, Doogie has a big front hole. We all
huge.
Have our own front holes. All right, thank you, Aaron.
So that's why because they're all about inclusivity in the LGBTQIA community.
Yeah.
So now they go LGBTQQIAAP.
Okay, well, give me the rundown on all of those.
So we're talking lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, transsexual, queer, questioning, intersex, asexual, allies, and pansexual.
What's Wait. Pansexual?
What's and what's that? The difference between transgender and transsexual?
I don't know. I don't have. I have a million tabs up because there's a million different things.
Yeah, you're the go-to guy for all this. Yeah.
Transgender, I think, is. I think what they're saying is that you could be transgender, but still be attracted. Like if I were born a man, but I now live as a woman, I could still be attracted to women. And at that point, I'm just transgender because I live as a woman, but I like women. I think transsexual, maybe I was born a man. I switched to a woman, and now I'm attracted to men. This is just
is that right?
I don't know. It's just pure speculation. But at this point, you throw something against the wall, it sticks, Dieter.
Yeah, okay.
Transgender people have a gender identity or gender expression that differs from their assigned sex. Transgender people are sometimes called transsexual if they desire medical assistance to transition from one sex to another.
All right, and then pansexual.
So that's not inclusive enough, just transgender or transsexual. You got to narrow it down so you have two T's in there. Okay.
Pansexual is your question?
Yeah.
That's not limited in sexual choice with regard to biological sex, gender, or gender identity.
Wasn't that bisexual?
I don't know.
No, but no. Bisexual, like the guy who just called, he knows he's a man, and he's attracted to both men and women. Pansexual are attracted to both men and women, However, they themselves say, I could be both a man and a woman, or I was born a man and switched to a woman. Why are you shaking your head?
Wrong. I think you're wrong.
That's what he just said.
I'm reading pansexual right here. It says sexually attracted to people regardless of gender. That's it.
That would be bisexual, wouldn't it?
Not according to this.
It seems like there's a lot of double dipping here in these letters.
Yeah, just someone who's attracted to all types of people is a pansexual. Anybody.
And just to put a button on this, Healthline, the original publication that started all of this and said that they're going to start using front hole instead of vagina, they have tried to backtrack from that, and they say, no, we never said that we were going to use front hole. They actually changed their website after the fact. I read you the original website. The original website says, let me read it to you. For the purpose of this guide, we'll refer to the vagina as the front hole instead of solely using the medical term vagina. This is gender-inclusive language that's considerate of the fact that some trans people don't identify with the labels of the medical community, that the medical community attaches to their genitals. That's how they originally put it. However, they've now updated their guide. And it says, for the purpose of this guide, we've chosen to include alternative words for readers to use for their genitals. For example, some trans men choose to use the words front hole or internal genital instead of vagina.
Oh,
I don't like the internal genital. Alternatively,
some, because this is their clarification.
Oh, okay.
Before they go front hole. Now they've clarified it. Alternatively, some trans women may use strapless or girl D. I'm just going to say that.
The four-letter word?
Rhymes with stick.
Really?
Yep. For penis. So trans women may say strapless or girl D for penis. I guess strapless, does that mean it's like a strap-on, but you don't need the strap? It's just built in?
Oh.
I don't know. I'm so confused. This is clarifying it?
And they say this usage is meant for one-on-one communication with trusted persons, such as your doctor or your partner, not for broad discussion, like on a radio show.
Yeah.
You could say, you can use strapless with your doctor. Doctor, I don't know. I've had a burning sensation in my strapless for the past week. Doctor, I don't know. For some reason, I can't get my girl D up anymore. What? But anyhow.
Did you see this original pamphlet? And here's the quote they said. They have the stick word, and they go through all the different front hole, strapless, and vagina, and they say, we use this word to talk about the genitals of a trans woman who has had the bottom surgery. That's strictly the only time you're allowed to use vagina.
Well, no, this is in their clarification, not the original one.
Okay.
I think what happened is they go, we're going to use, don't use vagina. That's not inclusive enough. Use front hole. And then I'll bet a bunch of people go, well, wait a second. Front hole certainly isn't inclusive because I have a strapless, or I have a girl D, or I have an internal genital.
Well, I'm just saying that even Doogie doesn't have a vagina. They only use that word if you're a trans person that had the bottom surgery. That's the only time you're allowed to use vagina. Look, I just sent you the pamphlet, the original.
Wait, when am I allowed
to use it? You can only use it for trans people who have had bottom surgery.
What about for a woman?
Nope.
Like Doogie?
Nope.
Can't use vagina?
Quote, vagina. We use this word to talk about the genitals of trans women who have had bottom surgery.
And what do you use for a net like Doogie?
Front hole.
Front hole. Okay.
Doogie hasn't earned her right to get the vagina yet.
Any woman to go, and I don't even know if that's a politically correct term, woman. I defy any woman or challenge any woman to go into their doctor today and say, Doc, I have an issue. I seem to have a little itch in my front hole. I would love for you to try that today. Alex in Dallas. You're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Alex.
Hey, what's up, bro? It's your friendly atheist. What's up, Dieter? What's up, Bougie?
No. Hi.
Hey, listen. Yes. Listen, dude, I'm a gay man. I'm also a father. And I think, honestly, what happens here, dude, honestly, man, is the fact that these people are the people that in life get told you can be and do anything you want. And they take that to a whole other level. Now, on that, look, I'm not one for sensitivity. When life catches up to you, man, you finally realize that, hey, I don't have time for labels. I don't have for all the time for people feeling sorry for me because I'm not included in a certain part. I don't ever go to gay bars. Me and my husband never go to those places. So I don't feel like I'm part of the community. I always, my friend, it took me forever to come out, and I had to choose the right platform to do it. Of course, you know, it was not during the, you know, but anyhow.
Now, I hate to be stereotypical, but and I don't know exactly what causes it, but there is a typical way that a gay man speaks, I would say, right? I mean, is that accepted? I mean, I think we can agree on that, right?
The reason I'm saying that is that Alex has
none of that when he speaks. Oh, he sounds gay to you?
Yeah.
You guys, that's so offensive. That? Yeah.
Wow, how is that offensive?
Yuck. Imaginary friends, that's why. But anyhow, look, no, bro, listen to me. No, I grew up a metalhead, dude, okay? I played in metal bands. It took me forever to come out when I was finally 22. I am a father. I love my kid. He's 22 now. I raised him on a more conservative side, knowing that I was a gay father. But I never thrusted that down his throat, no pun intended.
No pun, yeah.
Jeez.
Oh.
Metalhead.
Fine.
But no, he's an outstanding kid. He graduated at 17. He's 3 years in college. He's a good kid.
And how did your friends in the metal community react when you came out of the closet?
They were great with it. They were fine. They didn't care. Like, life goes on. You move on. Like, I'm 40 now, you know? Like, it's...
That's what I was talking about with the gay sales guy here the other day. He's like, I don't know if I'm just weird. He goes, I've never had one issue in my entire life of anyone ever being mean to me for being gay or discriminating against me for being gay.
Irony, Rover?
Nothing.
Rover, you know, the irony is the gay community is the most discriminatory community there is, dude. And that is, walk around a gay bar, go look at them, see how they try to measure up each other, no pun intended again, uh-huh. You know? See how they try to just look at how they gawk at each other, how they treat each other like crap. If you're too fat, you're too skinny. It doesn't matter, bro. Like
too gay, not gay enough.
Exactly. Like I don't hang out with that crowd, dude. I kid you not. I live in the burbs, dude. I have a house in the burbs. I'm great, dude. Like I have no problem with my neighbors, dude. No problem with my friends, dude. We don't have any friends, and I'm so grateful for that because
yeah, cool dude.
I really don't care about other people.
All right, Alex in Dallas.
I'm taken care of.
Thank you.
Thanks, dude.
What I'm taking care of, we're good.
All right. Thank you, Alex. We're just running into a lot of letters with this thing. Well, that's the only point I'm trying to make.
There's none left.
Jeffrey, because I found a new one
yes.
that Jeffrey actually might fit into.
Okay, all
it's
right.
It's LGBTDN.
LGBTDN?
What do you think that stands for, Jeffrey?
I don't know.
Lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, and D's nuts.
Whatever, pal.
Dougie, are you ready for the
yes
shizzy? Here we go.
Hit a shizzy on Rover's Morning Glory.
A lot of people watching Hawaii as they're dealing with flooding from the torrential rains while they brace for Hurricane Lane. And that... again, it's not going to be a direct hit, but they are going to see warnings and concerns with the flooding and then the mudslides.
Right.
So this will be affecting them.
So watch out. We had a guy call in from Hawaii earlier today.
We did.
He's on hurricane alert.
Remember earlier this week, we had told you the story that there were people living in a high-rise building on the East Coast, and they were concerned because there were shots being fired at their building, and they didn't know what was going on.
Someone from far away across the river shooting into their apartments.
Well, a suspect has turned himself into police in connection with those gunshots that were fired at this luxury high-rise.
Who would turn himself in, by the way? Like, why would you ever... like, you're shooting into this apartment building. You know what you're doing at the time. Why would you then later... It gets publicized in the news. Why would you then later go, you know what? I'm just going to turn myself in. Who would do that? I would never turn myself in for a crime. Ever.
Maybe you say that, then it gets to you. Like, did anybody die or anything?
No.
So maybe it's just like, I'll come out. Maybe the cop said, if you come to us now, it won't be as bad. Turn yourself in.
Don't believe that. Are you stupid?
They're going to find... If they have the bullet, they're going to trace it back to you.
How?
They can.
How? 22-year-old Ferris Caroma confessed at the 114th Precinct Station House in Queens last night.
How do you think they always trace it back?
They always find you. For sure.
A caller just said that he called in. He said when every gun is sold, they fire it twice.
Yeah.
To get the markings of the bullet. So anytime that gun is then fired in the future, they can trace it back to the sale of that gun. So if he's the original owner, unless that gun he bought off the street, it's going to come back to you.
I don't know, man.
Samsung, today is the day. They're launching their latest smartphone, the Galaxy Note 9. It's a smartphone line which will capture consumers' attention because it's significantly larger with the touch screens, which is compared to the standard phones. People like the bigger screen, apparently.
They're too big. I can't walk around with those things.
I like the bigger.
I can't put it in my pocket. It's just, what do you do with that?
I like it. I wish mine was a little bit bigger. So, today's the day. Is anyone here going to get that or no?
Yeah, I got to get a new phone soon.
Are you going to get a giant thing like that?
No, not giant, but I just need a new phone.
What do you have?
Oh, God, it's like the S5.
Oh, my God.
I know, I keep meaning to get one, and I'm like, well, I don't want to pay $1,000 for a new phone.
Yeah,
that's the thing. I'm like, until it breaks, that's usually what pushes me to get a new phone.
Go on, Disney.
Sure. Kmart and Sears stores still in the news, closing more stores. The old-fashioned, the brick-and-mortar type stores are just not doing well. So, for example, we have Sears Holdings to close down 46 more Kmart and Sears stores. The department store chain, which has closed several hundred locations over the past few years, will close 13 of its Kmarts and 33 of their Sears locations in November.
Wow.
All right, so I have a story about a reboot. ABC is developing a Bewitched reboot.
Oh, come on. Did they already do that movie reboot? Now they're doing a TV show reboot of that?
This is an interracial couple. Samantha is a black single mom slash witch, and Darren is a white slacker. No word on casting yet, which leads
interesting
me...
how they chose to do that. Like,
well,
you could have made an interracial couple where... The woman is white.
That's racist, though. You can't do that.
And the black guy's a slacker, but that would never fly, would it? No. You have to have the white guy be the slacker, the loser.
Here is from Business Insider talking about reboots, and I won't go through all of them, but a list of 30 major TV reboots that are either currently airing or in development. Go ahead.
They always make a reboot and the women take over. Like Ghostbusters became women.
Yeah.
Do you ever have one where the men take over a woman's role? Do you think of one single show? I don't think they would allow that.
I heard that they're remaking Little Women and Charlie and Nads are going to play it. It's called Little Penises.
That was kind of funny. All right. So reboots coming this season. Magnum P.I.
Oh, that might be good. Who's playing the guy? Who's playing Magnum?
Some guy. I just read it because they are shutting down production because of that hurricane. On that and Hawaii 5-0, which, of course, was another reboot.
Murphy Brown, The Conners, Charmed, and the Sabrina the Teenage Witch spinoff, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. So those are coming this season. What are currently being worked on? This is crazy. We just mentioned Bewitched. Frasier, which we have talked about, The Twilight Zone reboot, Miami Vice, The Munsters, The Jetsons. Are you kidding me?
I know. These things just don't need to be rebooted.
Veronica Mars, Elf, we've talked about, Rugrats, and The L Word. Like, that's enough.
It says Jay Hernandez is playing Magnum P.I.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a Spanish twist.
No, he doesn't look Hispanic, really. I saw the...
What?
I just saw a picture of the guy. He doesn't look like overly Hispanic, I didn't think. Let's see if I can... Yeah, there it is.
Wait, he doesn't... You can't say he looks like him.
No, it doesn't look exactly like Tom Selleck, but here he is in a Ferrari. And the old 308... I mean, they're going to reboot. Like, they're not going to be driving around in an old-ass Ferrari 308, are they? It's going to be something new, like a 488 or something?
I don't know.
I guess.
Three more stories and then we're done for the day. Aretha.
That was a great show, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I loved that when I was a little kid. Still a good show. I catch it every now and then. There's some channel when we're on the bus on DirecTV that just replays old-ass TV shows like that, and Magnum P.I. is always playing on there, so I'll watch it.
Probably TV Land.
No, it's some channel I'd never even heard of before.
Aretha Franklin's funeral will be in Detroit next Friday. It'll be a star-studded event. The Franklin family announced that 19 artists will sing at the service at the Greater Grace Temple in Detroit. This will be August 31st. Stevie Wonder, Faith Hill, Chaka Khan, Jennifer Hudson, just to name a few. John Lennon's killer.
Who? What?
Chaka Khan.
What is it?
Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan?
Yeah.
Isn't it Chaka Khan?
I say Chaka Khan.
Okay.
Chalk. John Lennon's killer has been denied parole for a 10th time. Mark David Chapman, he was informed yesterday that he would not be released after appearing in front of the New York Parole Board earlier this week. They said Chapman's releases would be incompatible with the welfare and safety to society. He's 63 years old. He'll be eligible again in 2 years. And then one more death. Can you give me a little Leonard Skinner, Sweet Home Alabama? The guitarist Ed King, he has passed. 68 years old. Ed co-wrote this song, Sweet Home Alabama. And he was also a founding member of the Strawberry Alarm Clock. That's a 60s psychedelic band.
I got into Wikipedia yesterday about this band because I saw that this guy died. And then I clicked on something, then I clicked on something else, and then I was reading all about it. Did you know that it's not Leonard Skinner?
What is it?
Leonard Skinner.
Didn't what? I say Leonard?
Leonard Skinner is how you pronounce the
How
band.
Do you think you say it?
Named after a gym teacher.
Leonard is how I would normally say
it.
It's always
said
been Leonard.
That.
Leonard.
It's always
like
been
the guy.
Leonard.
Well, no, it has a Y in it. Just like the.
Yeah, it's. The just like Skinner.
Yeah, Skinner.
No, it's named after a guy.
Yeah, but I've never.
It's named after Leonard Skinner, but I think it's pronounced Leonard Skinner,
no.
Right?
No, it isn't. There's not a single person in the world that pronounces it like that.
Yeah, nobody. There is. I
I've
do.
Never
Me
heard
too.
That.
Leonard. How do you say it?
Leonard Skinner.
Leonard. Like the guy.
I'm just telling you, I've never even heard anyone pronounce it Leonard.
Everybody does.
Yeah, everybody does.
Oh.
No, you guys are wrong.
There you go.
How
that's
do you say it one
shizzy.
More time?
Just, it would rhyme with Skinner.
Leonard Skinner.
Leonard Skinner.
No.
Oh, I know that's incorrect, but that's how I've said it for 30 years.
Jeffrey, you're the
expert.
The expert.
I've always pronounced it Leonard Skinner.
How do you pronounce it?
Leonard Skinner.
Okay, see, there you go.
So now you got to change it.
He has it all.
There you go.
Is it all done?
That's a shizzy.
Then I got into Sweet Home Alabama. I was on the page for that.
I like that movie with Reese Witherspoon. Oh.
Did you know that they kept making music, that the band wasn't done? Like, recently, they were still making songs?
Well, yeah, I think they just continued on. They
but, like,
got
they
a different
turned into
lead
a,
singer.
They turned
it's
into
his
a
brother or something.
Totally different band. They sound like... It's awful.
Is this Leonard Skinner? Yeah, but when you say they sound completely different, Sweet Home Alabama is like 40 years ago, dude. Like,
just keep playing that. Keep touring with that.
Well, I'm sure that they do. I don't think they play a show without that.
Yeah,
they can't.
Don't. This isn't even the worst song. I found one that just sounded like. This is okay. This still sounds like Leonard Skinner.
Now, would you consider "Sweet Home Alabama" a racist song, Snitz?
Why?
Would I? I mean, they definitely have an undertone of that. Yeah.
Do they?
What makes
I'm more
racist?
Of a Neil Young fan than a Leonard fan, so you kind of have to be on one camp or the other.
Because
they hate each other. But, I mean, Leonard does fun music, but I'm sure it has some sort of undertones.
Yeah, this is all about, like, in, I don't know, I was on the Wikipedia page, and how the reference to Birmingham and how they loved the governor in Birmingham, it was all about segregation and, like... Pretty much like Leave Us Alone. And Neil Young, who wrote a song about how the South basically owes black people. This is a rebuttal to that and is basically
a racist anthem.
Wow.
I learned something new. Did you ever know that,
David? Racist? No. I always think of Butterbean when he came out to fight, came out to this song.
Yes, he did, yeah.
So I always have, anytime I hear this on the radio, I change it because I get nightmares.
Leonard Skinner's from Florida.
Leonard Skinner, not Leonard.
Leonard Skinner. Leonard Skinner.
Yeah, yeah, they're from Jacksonville, not from Alabama.
So they,
go figure.
They just wrote a song to shout out the racists in Alabama.
That's right. We'll be right back. Hang on.
Alexa, turn on the number one morning radio show.
Okay, now playing Rover's Morning Glory.
Going to wrap everything up. We'll tell you what's coming up on the Friday Leftovers on RMG Plus in just a few minutes. We'll give some stuff away as well. Let's see here. Ray, let me just read through a couple of last emails. Ray says, SFLY, I'm a big fan from San Francisco. I want to buy a Rover's Morning Glory track jacket, size double XL. Do you have any available? I don't know if there are any available. Those are available for RMG Plus subscribers. If they're not available, then that size is sold out. There were only a few in each size that were available. So you'd have to log in.
Okay.
As an RMG Plus subscriber at roverradio.com, you would have to... Let me see if it will tell you here. If you go to the store, you go to apparel, let's look. Will it tell you if this is available in a double XL? It says out of stock, so no. XL, that's out of stock. Large, medium, small, extra small... All in stock, but those are not a lot available in those sizes. I do know that. I could wear those every day. I really like that. That track jacket is great.
I love it.
I don't know how you're going to top it, to be honest.
I don't think I can.
Yeah.
Maybe just do the track jacket in gray.
Or red. Seriously, a different color each time.
Red and
something,
white.
Something. Nautical Mile Nick writes, Rover, remember this guy Dieter couldn't eat cupcakes because of the sugar? He couldn't drink pop because of the sugar, yet he drinks beer, which, guess what, is high in sugar.
Huh?
And that sauce from Chick-fil-A.
Yum.
Sugar is the number one ingredient. He's such a fake. Yeah. He's a fake conservative. He brings nothing to the show.
Yeah, I don't eat those every day. And the cupcakes I did eat, you dumbass. I ate 12 of those. And I'm saying, if I go to Chick-fil-A on a cheat meal, I will put sugar with the chicken,
uh-huh.
The Polynesian.
Yeah.
You think I'm eating that every day?
I
would like to.
Do you eat whatever you want on Sundays? You still stand by that?
No,
or?
It's not usually Saturday. I usually change it up. It's not just Sunday.
One day a week.
Yeah, usually one day a week or on the weekends.
She's just asking you this because she wants to try to copy it.
So now she's doing like everything I said years ago. Yeah. She like lowering her carbs. I told her this 10 years ago, but she didn't listen to me. Yeah. And now she's like, I discovered this thing where I lower my carbs and I lose weight. No. I told you that 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was a lady that I met in the gas station who told me she lost 80 pounds and this is how
perfect.
She did
That's
it.
Exactly ago, I'm just going to listen to some random lady in a gas station.
You could have lost this weight 10 years ago.
Well, I didn't.
Still didn't.
Yes.
Let's see here. Michael writes, greetings from beautiful Fort Collins, Colorado. I love the show so much and the whole crew, including Curious George. Apparently he's part of the crew now. I usually like Snitzer's opinion, but on Thursday's show, he said the band OAR is like this generation's Grateful Dead. I could not disagree more with him on this. The Grateful Dead were and are their own thing and are multi-generational. Currently, the torch has been passed to John Mayer on lead guitar. They still tour huge venues across the country and sell out along the way. Get it right, Snitz.
I didn't say it was my generation. I'm a Dead fan.
Ew, I hate that.
I said this newer stuff. I thought that there was.
Isn't Fish the next generation of Grateful Dead or Widespread Panic?
It's the same kind of music.
Widespread Panic's old. Fish, definitely.
I'd never heard of Widespread Panic until I moved from Las Vegas to Tennessee. And the program director's like, there's a Widespread Panic concert this weekend. And I'm like, a what? Widespread Panic. They're big.
They're big.
I'd never heard of Widespread Panic. And it's like, I think you really have to be on drugs to go to one of these things. You have to, because this is it? Is this Widespread Panic?
Yeah, but like, even
but
if you were you to
have
see
to,
them.
This song would last 25 minutes.
Easy.
And they're singing a lot more in this. Like, do they normally sing this much?
Just up there, I don't know specifically this band, but if it's anything like Fish, they play four songs and they're just noodling. There's a noodle in the way on the guitar, and you got to be high, but people love it. I personally don't get it. So I met a guy at a Flaming Lips concert, and he told me he just got back from the Fish Festival. And I go, well, what bands were there? He goes, it's just 4 days of Fish, man. 4 days. And each night they play 4 hours. And I went,
it's 4 days of Fish, and it's one song.
Yeah.
4 hours?
That's what he said, right? You were there.
Yeah. They had to cancel the show, though, because the drinking water...
Oh, got contaminated with diarrhea.
They're going to do Watkins Glen, that racetrack in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it all got contaminated because of flooding, so they had to send everybody home. No Fish for those guys.
Oh, wait, so how many people were at this thing?
I'm trying to figure it out. It was a lot. People go from all over the country, out of the country.
Had to cancel the whole thing, refund everyone's money?
Everybody, yep.
Pain in the ass, that's gotta be.
This is Fish.
No, it's not.
Oh, this is like
live at the Alpine Valley 2010, one of the greatest sets. Listen to this.
This is just like, it's band practice, is what this sounds like.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Yeah, it
Snitzer, do you like this?
I don't care for Fish, no.
But you like Grateful Dead?
I like the Dead, yeah.
Is it similar?
Yeah, it is similar, yeah.
It's almost like each musician is playing their own thing.
Yeah, there's no
like
rhythm.
Like this guy
or
on piano, like he's just doing his own thing. It matches up with the rest of the musicians, not at all.
It sounds like a kid just on a piano, just hitting the keys.
That's right, yeah.
And Rover, back to that douchebag about the sugar and beer. There's hardly any sugar in beer. Most of them, there's
carbs,
none.
Right?
There's
all
carbs.
That's different. Theater, it's all carbs. It's converted into what?
But there's low.
It's converted into what?
But there's low carbs.
What?
There's low carb beer. There's 2 grams and 3 grams in some beer.
You don't drink low carb
beers. Yeah, I do. Miller Lite's 3 grams. Michelob Ultralight's 2 grams, Rover. And tell me, that's carbs. It's not sugar. It's completely different. That dumbass who wrote the email in is one of the dumbest guys I've ever talked to through email in my life.
Did you just spend 5 minutes Googling this?
No, I wanted to back it up before I said it, because I'm like, right away, I go, this doesn't sound right.
What'd you Google?
How stupid is this guy who thinks there's sugar in beer? And then they answered back, very stupid. There's hardly any sugar in beer. There's carbs, but most have 0 grams.
The Curveball Festival, they got canceled.
Oh, yeah.
They're expecting 35,000 people.
And the guy we met, he said he was already halfway there when it got canceled.
Do you think that if I were on drugs, would I like this?
I don't think so. I've done drugs, and this sucks.
But have you listened to this while you're on drugs?
Yeah, because some music is drug music. You're supposed to just smoke up and listen to it.
What drug? What drug is
weed.
This?
We're talking
no,
acid.
No, I think it's got to be LSD.
Yep.
You could get... Yeah, I bet you could kind of enjoy it if you're just a little stoned, but I think you need something a little harder.
My cousin was obsessed with fish, followed them around the country for years. He's probably been to over 300 fish shows.
Are you kidding?
Selling grilled cheese in the parking lot.
Do you make money?
To get to the next show. That's the whole plan, is to make enough money to get to the next show. Followed him all around, and then when he would come around for holidays, he's just giving me fish tapes, like cassette tapes from different... Like the set list at Alpine Valley. He'll give me
can I get one of those tapes?
Your family has so much to be proud of.
Hey, top nads, that guy.
Love you, Billy.
Jeez. Shout out to him.
They'd rather have 32 DUIs than the fish head. All right. Caller 30 right now, 866-YO-ROVER. 866-967-6837. I'll give you one of the following. Tickets to the Cleveland National Air Show, presented by Discount Drug Mart, Labor Day weekend at Burke Lakefront Airport. Visit clevelandairshow.com. Or tickets to go to Cedar Point with Charlie, Jeffrey, and Nads Monday. Go to WMMS.com, keyword contest, for another chance to win and get in on the last blast of summer at Cedar Point. Caller 30 right now, 866-YO-ROVER. What do we have coming up on the Friday?
Tonight, I'm going to be at Wild Eagle at 9 p.m. Wild Eagle, Broadview Heights. We've got four bands playing. EJ Spark, Uptown Buddha, Glendale, Earth to Everyone. It's the Battle of the Bands contest. It's free to get in. Come on out.
And tomorrow, Saturday, my bar crawl, 7 o'clock. Starts at Anderson's, Mare on the Lake, and we go to Willoughby for Garage Bar and Frank and Tony's.
All right.
Give them a cooler way at each stop on those big Yeti coolers. It's going to be sweet.
On the leftovers, we have a carnival game that might end up being the next biggest sport. I got a girl doing a limbo, and it ends horribly. Have you guys seen this limbo video? You're going to love this limbo video.
Buckle up.
All right.
And a really cool taekwondo video that these kids are just, they're breaking like 100 boards. You're going to have to see this. All this coming up and more on the leftovers.
If you do not subscribe to RMG Plus, sign up now at roverradio.com so you can watch or listen live to the Friday Leftovers. Friday Leftovers live video, I would suggest watching live. You can watch there at roverradio.com or with the Rover Radio app. But the only way to sign up is at roverradio.com. We will see you on that in just a few minutes, and we'll talk to you on the main show next week. Have a great day and a great weekend. It's Rover's Morning Glory.
Bye.
Bye.
Morning Glory.